I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
For me, the personality is not always a positive one. Or rather, it's positive mostly only when it is allowed to operate creatively. Otherwise, it can be a drag. For me, creating things is about finding a place for feelings that would otherwise interfere with ordinary life. Those could be feelings of aggression. They could be feelings of depression. For me, those are two common ones, and they're not feelings that I want to dominate my ordinary life, which is why they work so well as an engine for making things. When I was a kid and people told me that Einstein spent the last decades of his life in New Jersey, I thought the idea was strange. It was hard to picture him walking around with other Jersey types. Tony Soprano came to mind, though he didn't exist yet. Did Einstein go with someone like Tony to construction sites? Or was he one of the Atlantic City boardwalk counting the change in his pocket, hoping he could scrape up enough cash to make it big at the casino? At some point, my parents and I were driving up from Philadelphia so that they could play a concert somewhere in the Northeast. We took the I-95, which went near Princeton, New Jersey. And when I saw the sign, I remember reading that Albert Einstein walked around Princeton. He would scan the ground for cigarette butts. When he saw one, he would pick it up and empty the remaining tobacco into his pipe. It wasn't that he was cheap. Maybe he was, but that wasn't why he did it. His doctor had forbidden him from smoking, and he was being defiant. He was being resourceful. He was telling the world that he didn't want them to put walls around him. If he wanted to do something, he was going to do it. Try to stop him. Einstein's cigarette butts reminded me of another component of creativity, which is that you have to pay attention. You have to watch the ground. I may be more guilty of this than other creators, partly because I wonder whether I really am creative in the first place. Maybe I'm just a great student scouring the sidewalk for pieces of things other people made so I can pick them up and stuff them in my pipe. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast with your hosts, Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Saturday afternoon, ready to do some podcasting.
Yes.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips and give us 5-star reviews. We're going to read those today.
We are.
The ones that you left, and y'all did leave a few. Thank you.
Yay.
We appreciate it, okay?
We do.
you can also email us, theblackouttips@gmail.com. You can leave voicemails. We didn't get any this week, but the number is 704-557-0186. Make sure the voicemail is 2 minutes or less. You can also leave comments on our website, theblackguywhotips.com. Each episode has a post on our site. You can leave a comment on each post. We read them. There's polls on each post. You can finish the poll, like click on that, leave a comment on the poll page. All that stuff, just go to theblackguywhotips.com and hook us up. Like, well, this is all about you. Feedback shows are where we talk about the things that you guys wanted to talk about throughout the week. This will probably be a shorter feedback show because I think we only did 3 episodes this week for the regular feed.
Yes.
I had to take a couple of days off, mental health stuff, just wasn't feeling it. Mm-mm. But if you want some more Rod, okay, because I'm always around, there's plenty of places to get me.
Yes.
But the best place tonight, if you're listening live, if you're listening to this on a Saturday, I will be on Keith and the Girls silent trailer game show at 8 p.m. tonight. So you can find that by going to keithandthegirl.com/tickets. And if you use code TBGWT, you get half off of your ticket. All right. So TBGWT to get half off of the ticket. So I think tickets are normally like $10. It'll be $5 for you. So, yeah, check it out. I think it's going to be a fun time. I'd love to see you guys there, in the Zoom chat with the links and all that stuff, hanging out with us. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. So 8:00 Eastern Standard Time, 6/6, my brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Rodney.
Happy birthday, Rodney.
All right. Let's talk about the excerpt. The excerpt that we are reading today is from Creative Quest by the Quest Love of the Roots. And it's a whole book about creativity. And I thought about a couple things he said there. One, being creative to put emotions that you don't want to dominate your life into like capsules and coordinate it off. That is an interesting concept, you know. So, you know, and it makes sense when you think about a lot of people's art, you know, where your art is angry, your art is sad, your art is this, and then saying, well, I'm putting it here so that I don't have to live in it all the time.
Right.
Which I thought was cool. You know, I feel like what we do is creative, and it's definitely art to do the podcast, but I would not say that I'm doing it to not experience it other places, because I feel like the joy we have doing the show is a joy that I love living in, you know.
Yes.
And even just the explanations and stuff like that. So on a, as a regular thing, I don't think it is. But in general, there is certain things that go into the show that is exactly that, like,
yes,
where I'm like, I don't want to be angry all the time, but I'm going to express my anger on this show in this confined space for this finite amount of time, and then I'm going to move on to my regular life. You know, I'm frustrated with certain events that are happening. Here's a place I can say it. And you know, and it's different than other places where, like, social media, you have so many people putting into the pot.
Right.
You know, you can go in and say, man, my wife slapped me in my face. And someone's going to be like, well, what did you deserve to be slapped? Another person's going to be like,
you should hit her back.
Yeah, call the police. Another kill, you know, divorce, you know. And so something that, you know, I might say on this podcast, and it's me and you, and the rest of the people are passively listening.
Right.
There's a difference. And so there are things, you know, more complex, nuanced thoughts, feelings that I have that I don't want to, like, put out there into the ether to yuck anyone's yum, but I do feel like a need to express it. That happens all the time with the podcast, and I never had thought of it that way until I read this and was like, yeah, when I don't like something I see people doing, but I also don't really think it's a big enough deal to start no shit over it, and I really don't want to attract those people's attention and argue with them, I do go to the podcast. You know, when I have complicated thoughts about, you know, politics or blackness or whatever, I love the podcast for that, you know, and I don't want those thoughts to dominate my life all the time. And sometimes before we get on the mic, it'll be something I've been thinking about for a while, and I'm like, okay, finally I can talk about this.
Right. This is the spot.
Yeah.
Excuse me. This is the place to talk about it. Something that I kind of picked up from it, which is really interesting, is that when he was talking about Albert Einstein, the things about creatives, is that they'll look at things that other people consider trash, you know, because when people smoke, they dump that, and they don't think twice about that. Like, that's an afterthought. Them people have moved on with their lives. They hadn't thought about that. So he literally picked up something somebody else had used and turned it into something else. Black people do that all the goddamn time. A lot of times out of necessity, we pick up other things that people consider trash, and we'll recycle it. We'll find another purpose for it. We'll be innovative with it. But to other people, they were like, that's trash. He was like, no, I have to do this. I'm doing this because I have to. He was doing it because he wanted to.
Right.
And some people do that because they want to. Some people actually, like they say, they look at the ground. They look at things around them. They observe. They soak in things. They adapt and they adjust. And I think that that's a very different take on it that I never really thought about. Because I know that a lot of places, particularly I'm just picking on California, kind of ban plastic bags. But in the Negro community, we use plastic bags for a lot of purposes other than just to carry your groceries. You know, we use it as conditioners for hair. You know, you wrap your hair up in it. It's a shower cap. You take your lunch in it. You use it as a trash bag. It has multiple purposes. But, you know, to most people, they take that plastic bag and throw it in the trash can.
Right. Same thing with Crown Royal bags.
Come on. You can find multiple purposes for it.
So, yeah. And yeah, it is interesting because that is the second part I wanted to get into. You said it so eloquently, but the ability for creative people to see something that people find useless and find the use in the thing, you know, like, for example, with our podcast, people think a podcast is supposed to be 100% action. Like, if you watch the action movie, it's supposed to be 100% a, like, you know, nothing but gunshots and bullets and fights, and then
like
and
the
then
episode end. That episode of Teen Titans, but it was like action, and Robin was like, no, you got to have explanation or the shit don't make sense.
Right. Which is fine though, because right, there's a lot fine. Of podcasts that are nothing but action.
Correct.
They've cut down the ums and uhs, they cut down the lulls and silences, they even cut out the conversation so that the conversation, even if it's cut and abrupt and it doesn't feel right, it's like at least it's short, you know. And that is definitely a way to podcast, and it's very creative and lucrative for certain people. But even with podcasting, I'm a person that looked at other podcasters, look at what we did and said, nah, I think there's a room for a 2-hour show. There's a room for a 3-hour daily show. Mm-hmm. If you do it right, like there's a way to make these things, to have these long pontificating discussions as opposed to just like, let's get to the point, you know, like if there was another way, like I could have done this show where we're doing feedback shows and we probably wouldn't even get feedback after a while if I did it the right way. People wouldn't need to feel like they could contribute it to this conversation.
Yeah.
We can make it so that no one feels welcome. We can make it so that we don't do it live. We can make it where the interaction is not the key. The process to this podcast is the key. The conversation is the key. The meandering and the thought and going through it with us and watching us grow, evolve, watching us devolve, watching us change.
Right.
That's all the shit.
And live action too, cause you're kind of seeing it as we do things, because we've had conversations and mine and yours both opinion would actually change kind of while we're having the conversation.
Yeah. And then even with, different episodes, each episode is an art piece. Each episode is different. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's a difference between, you know, we have like a Chris Lambert or Ray Sani on, and the conversation is a little bit longer, a lot less rigid and structured. There's other times we have a guest on or we do the show ourselves and we're like, boom, 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 boom. These are the topics we want to talk about. These are the articles we want to get to. Things like that.
Right.
So, finding the extra layer in reading it and going into details and having the conversations about things that we feel squishy about, that to me is also finding cigarette butts on the ground.
Yeah. And also the thing about when you're truly creative, you can adapt and adjust. I know you said he talked about that in his book too. Like, you have to adapt and adjust to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And because the audience is actually, you know, the people that have eyes, the people that are paying, like those are the people that matter. And sometimes you could be so structured in doing it only your way and there can be no other way but your way that you actually lose sight in the pureness of the creativity, because a part of the creativity sometimes is just going with the flow, which is very hard for people to do, because both of those shows you just described are great in their own ways.
Yeah, I will always go back, and I go back to this, speaking of the roots, but I go back to this over and over in my mind all the time. I think about this probably at least once or twice a month, but the quote from Mo Better Blues, when Bleak is talking to Shadow Henderson and Bleak is talking about how he wants to do this high-minded artistic shit, and Bleak says it's all bullshit, everything you just said is bullshit, out of all the people in the world you never gave anybody else, and look, I love you like a stepbrother, but you never gave anybody else a chance to play their own music you complain about. That's right, the people don't come because you grandiose motherfuckers don't play the shit that they like. If you played the shit that they like, then the people will come, simple as that. And that's what I always try to think about with the show, is like, are we playing to the people, or are we just playing only to big up ourselves? Like, this what y'all need to be on. And it's that balance as a creative that you have to walk, where I do want this to represent me, I do want this to represent myself, but I do want it to reach people and for people to understand it, and it's a fine line.
Yeah, it is a fine line, and truth be told, everybody's not good at it, and that's something that people don't want to admit, is that when you're also being creative, everything you put out there ain't gonna be a hit, it ain't gonna be a jam, it ain't gonna go to number one. Sometimes it's a flop, sometimes it fails, sometimes it doesn't work, but what it does teach you is that I need to adapt and adjust. But sometimes people aren't good at something and they won't adapt and adjust to actually make themselves better. Mm-hmm. Because that's also a part of being creative, is to constantly make yourself better at whatever your craft is.
Mm-hmm. You gotta be thinking about it, refining it, looking for them cigarettes butts.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
That's right. New day, new euros. Let's get into it. Donna N hit us with that recurring donation. Zachary N from Living Corporate Podcast. B. Coleman. Shout out to him. Hey, we got the RNC up out of here, player. We did
come
it.
Come on. Yeah, we did.
Grace N. Thank you. Linwood C. Lawrence C. No relation. Michelle B. Thank you very much. Quinnell S. hit us with a one-time donation. Thank you, Quinnell. Malinike I. Appreciate you. Cedric W. Thank you. Preston F. Team Drove. Thank you. Tracy J. Appreciate you, Tracy. Our girl Allegra. Okay, be looking forward to a podcast with Karen and Allegra coming soon.
Yay!
Nelly L, thank you very much for your recurring donation, a brand new recurring donator. Thank you, Nelly.
Hey, baby.
Go to the new members class. We got a one-time donation from Shane and Aaliyah, who say, Aaliyah and I wanted to put a couple of coins in the basket, and thank you for all that you do. As a couple who work together and spend what seems like every waking moment in each other's faces, you two are our North Star. Thanks for being you. Oh, thank you. We appreciate it.
We do.
And, yeah, man, you know, just gotta try to, you know, like I told Keith and while I was on Keith and Girl, I said, you know, a big part of this is not getting on each other's nerves.
That, yeah.
So right. Big part of this, giving people their space, right, in the same house.
Giving them their rooms, you know, that's why, I know a lot of people probably mad they got them goddamn lofts with no walls and shit. Nope. Yeah. I need something to separate.
Get your own space. It's okay. You're gonna be fine. Don't mean you hate you, cause, you ain't seen each other in 3 seconds. Like, it's gonna be fine.
Right. Just because we don't talk to each other 24/7, it's okay.
Make a solo trip every once in a while to the store. It'll be alright. Gerard L. James TG, Calvin N with the McDonald's. I hope they doing well.
Me too.
Got a one-time donation from Monica T. Thank you very much. Oh, actually, it was a recurring donation. They just sent two emails. Okay. Tyrone M. Thank you. Jason F. Lanika M. And Alexander M. And lastly, Dostra J. Thank you, everybody. That's everybody. We appreciate you. Play me out, Kurt.
For me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
All right, let's get to y'all 5-star reviews. We got quite a few. Firstly, we got one from Reading in Milwaukee. Loving it again and again. Rod and Karen, goodness, you keep it so real. I listen, learn, talk, laugh, and keep myself from crying. Thank you for the dialogue and the hard topics, ugly times, ugly policing, and nothing new. I think it was James Baldwin who said black men are dying because white men refuse to control their imaginations. Damn. Mm. Yo, James Baldwin always, the bars in anything James Baldwin did is ridiculous. That was a talented man. And the fact that I feel bad that society has not elevated beyond his words so that they don't have meaning anymore. In a world where, you know, we had real progress, we'd be looking at James Baldwin shit like, I mean, I guess back in the day, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, but then obviously people realize how wrong they were from people like James Baldwin talking, and we moved on, and no, we're still talking about it. Update that to black people, because black men and black women are murdered by fearful men with too much power and entitlement. Absolutely, man. I think, and I saw this as a critique of him, and it's hard for me to truly accept the critique, and I'm not saying that because I'm a black man, I'm just saying it because I would feel this way about anyone who was writing at that time. But it was so long ago that writing general constructs were, when you talked about an entire race, you would say man for most of the time.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, that the world was correct, fucked up, blah blah, but I just hate when people promote it as an individual failing. Like James Baldwin only cared about black men, he would say when the black man is able to do such, and it's like, you know, that at that time man was inserted for race.
Yeah, it meant it's almost like an inclusive thing.
Yeah. That being said, obviously everyone has all kinds of hang-ups, misogyny, blah blah blah. I'm sure he had some. I'm sure it's in his work. I've seen some of it myself, but I just hate that one specific criticism that people levy at him. Not saying that's what you did. I know you didn't do that, but I hate it when people would hit him with, like, you know, let me hit you with this 2020 wokeness. It's like, you knew that everybody was talking the same way in 1953. You know what I mean? Anyway. And ugly politicians with too much power and entitlement. This seems far off, but vote, vote, vote. Push the lowlifes back under their rocks, Stu. Thank you.
Come on.
Yeah, I really don't. It's been brewing on Twitter and stuff, and you see it, but there's a lot of false ultimatums and a lot of people pushing rhetoric that will probably help the country in the long run. Mm-hmm. Maybe, hopefully, one day we'll go, yeah, we made it to this point. But this thing where they're like, fuck short-term gains, we only want the Hail Mary, at which we know is a low percentage we probably won't get, and we'll end up getting more Republican nightmare for however long until we get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I feel them, but you know, I would be dishonest if I got on this mic and was like, yeah, fuck voting. Democrats bad too. Like, if that to me, that feels very disingenuous. I think you can say both, that, you know, there are some Democrats that you would like to see do better and all this shit, or just the way government works, you would like to see do better.
Right. But the system itself is fucked up, which I completely understand.
Right. But if you think you can change the system without any level of people working on the inside of it as well as on the outside, right, I just feel like your entire point of view is flawed. Like, you know, like people say shit like, well, we needed protests to get, you know, George Lloyd's killers brought to justice, and I'm like, I agree with that. We did need to protest. I don't think without those protests, and I mean all of it, the looting, the rioting, mm-hmm, all the shit, not that I think all of it was done by black people for black lives, but whatever, a lot of that shit made headlines because people were fucking shit up, whatever.
Come on.
I think that pressure did help. But you know what else helped? You know, bringing in Keith Ellison, that's an elected official. You know what I mean? Like, having people at the helm that were ready to be listening to you. Because I'm going to tell you straight up right now, if you had a Republican, like, everything over there,
they wouldn't.
Not, those guys would be walking free. They wouldn't even have arrested them.
Of course
not. So, you know, it takes both. You know, Obama just held a town hall thing, a 15-minute little panel thing, and he was saying, you need both. You know, he's always said you need both, low key, right, but, you know, I just think you do need both. And if that means some resentment will occur from either side towards the other, that's fine. But in my holistic view, you can't make this shit work without agitators and your co-conspirators inside. You need it all. An interesting and funny podcast. This is from MMSJD. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce that. It's a lot of random letters. This podcast is an absolute gem. I usually listen at work and now at home while I work. Rod and Karen can always be counted on for insightful and funny takes. I love that they don't take themselves too seriously and love to crack jokes. I recommend it to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the big element to all this, okay? As thoughtful as we can be, at the end of the day, I'm getting my laugh on.
Yes, okay? I am.
It's gonna be some.
I'm here for the jokes.
At the end of the day, that's when it took me a while to get used to it, because I know other people will sometimes take me seriously. Though, I see somebody just this week quoted something I said that was, I was like, damn, that was really smart. I said that? Wow. And but I a little bit, I have to take myself not too seriously, because if I took myself that seriously, I wouldn't even do a podcast where my voice was recorded and went out to everybody. Cause then this feels like too much pressure. So it's just us talking, hanging out. Wonderful, wonderful show. This is by Joe Baltimore, who says, love the show, love the energy, great sense of humor, and Karen's laugh.
Thank you.
And they spell Karen with a Y. KARYNS.
Come on, YNS.
I guess she's trying to keep you away from the white Karens. I don't know.
It needs to be a separation.
He or she. I don't know. Joe could be in
them, right.
Best podcast ever. If you want to laugh and learn, mostly laugh all day, this is what you want. Great commentary on many aspects of black life in America. My favorite podcast. Oh, thank you, RF Niles.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. And then we got one last one from Canada. What's going on, you hoser?
What is going on up there? I don't know if this is true, but I seen something online that they was up there going like, y'all tired of police brutality? Y'all can come on up here.
Oh, nah, they got it up there too. So you gotta be careful.
Right, they got it everywhere.
They just beat you. They just beat you.
Right, they just beat you with the end in the maple syrup bottle.
Yeah, so gotta be careful. The blacks up there are still like, it's problems. Mm-hmm. Don't let the sweet taste fool you.
You'll just be covered in bacon and ham, but you can still get your ass whooped.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna beat you down and then they're gonna be like, they're gonna be like, you know how fast you were going to boot? I'm like, what are you talking about? Beep, beep, beep.
Come on.
Thank you, Ron and Karen. I've been listening to this podcast for about a year now. Stumbled on it through Geek Twitter. I adore the down-to-earth logic and comedic approach to topics of all kinds. Thanks to the both of you from Canada, Rachelle. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
And it says Rue Abbey as the username on iTunes there. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Glad you stayed with us for a year. I mean, that's a long time.
A real long time.
A lot of people don't make it that long. I've had podcasts that I wanted to listen to and just, it didn't curl right and I didn't last that year. All right, episode 2114 is where we start for the comments. You can go to theblackguywithtips.com, leave comments on the episode. So, all right, we got one comment. The episode was called Cooking on Facebook Live. Monica says, I wanted to take advantage of how much I adore episode 2112 with Ray Sani. It was one of those where you check how much time is left because you don't want it to end.
Aww.
And Rod, it tickled me that you didn't get to do any of the usual segments, but that was in no way a disappointment. Hearing Ray react in real time to the Rod and Karen couple story we all know and love was so sweet. She also asked great questions. It was a terrific conversation. Also, as a fan of Misandry podcast, Ray's previous one, I forget the name of that one. I know Three of Negroes. Mm-hmm. I have followed this woman, through several iterations of podcasts.
She probably have 4 or 5 podcasts.
I cannot even remember.
And we've been with her through all of them.
I can't even remember the woman's name. Maria Haynick was the co-host of one of them. And I like that one. I just like Ray. I just like listening to Ray.
Anywhere
like
Ray is, we gonna show up.
Listening to her talk. I think she's very, smart, funny, insightful. She makes me think. You know, sometimes I'll hit her up, like a text or something and just be like, you know, how's everything going? Or, you know, what you up to? And then without fail, we always end up on some random ass tangent about, a group of people I like to call these niggas, that will remain nameless, but we just end up talking about some random shit, man. She's, you know, I didn't even think about it, but I have really been listening to Ray since, whenever Three of Negroes was. So
that's been some years ago.
Yeah. I felt like I'd never heard Ray so animated. Very inebriated Ray was hilarious and a joy to hear. 2 thumbs up. Oh, I have heard her animated before. Okay. I've listened to her on several different scenarios. So, you know, I remember, my favorite thing about Three of Negroes is that, you know, while it seemed like everybody was obviously cool, you know what I mean? Jim was probably the most cognizant, and like aware and thoughtful as far as the dudes on the show. But Neruda was one of those people that just says shit, stumbles into shit, like gets too comfortable. And it was never nothing too egregious, but you know, Ray is very much like an active listener. And
she pays attention. She was like, what is happening here?
Right. She'll cut you off at the pass. And it used to be some of my favorite moments was Neruda saying some shit that was like either borderline, either offensive or at least at the very best, not well explained.
Right.
And he could mean something. He really could mean something like that's not bad.
Right.
But Ray would be like, hold up, stop.
She's like, words mean things.
Like, let's flesh this out. And I used to love those moments because it's like Neruda didn't realize he was in the ring with a prize fighter or something. Like, it would take him a few punches before he was like, oh, what I'm saying is stupid as shit. And then I think the reason the show still worked for me is that most of the time, if it was a dumbass point or something stupid that he couldn't really explain, he would relent and give up and be like, yeah, I, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing.
And it's like that sometimes.
Yeah, and the thing is, my brain works very similar to Ray's in that way, that when someone says something to me that I don't understand or I find to be like possibly stupid or whatever, I kind of pounce to be like, okay, so explain this. I don't want to jump down your shit though, but I want to understand fully before I jump down your shit. You know, that's why people,
give me some logic behind it.
Yeah, it's why people say they love hearing me with Justin. You love hearing me frustrated. Because Justin will say some shit and I'm like, nah, hold up. No, we need to examine that real quick.
So. No, Justin, no.
But yeah, also I love the episode with Nick and Reg. They are like family and it's always a genuine pleasure when they're on. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Podcast fam like that, real fam. Talk to them all the time and
good people.
Yeah, man, like that's one of the things that, you know, you gotta take the good with the bad. And one of the good things about the quarantine is, you know, people are home more, people are less busy at work and traveling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people can make time for you. Tomorrow at 3 p.m Eastern time, we're supposed to have Roy Wood Jr. on the show.
Yay.
Looking forward to that.
Me
now
too.
Did I email him today and asked was he gonna be available for 3 p.m today? Yes, I did. Why? Because I woke up and thought it was Sunday. Why? Because every day is the same fucking day now. Anyway, I gained a day back, but he hit me up and was like, I can do it today if y'all need me to. I was like, oh no, nope, I'm tripping. Please come through tomorrow. So that'll be dope to have Roy Wood Jr. back on the show. It's been so long.
It's been many
since we
years.
Had him, but like legitimately one of the funniest motherfuckers, period. Like on the earth.
When everything up and back up, if y'all ever get to see him live, please.
Yeah.
It is a ball. I laughed my ass off.
We've seen him live, I think, twice now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, both times cracked us the fuck up and does great work at the Daily Show and all that stuff. So it'll be cool to hear about, they talk to him, and he's been doing so much funny stuff on the internet, funny stuff with the Daily Show, and like going out into the community and like helping and cleaning up and stuff. So just a genuine good person. But yeah, that's one of the things I like about the quarantine is, like, you know, it's so hard to get Reggie and Nick in the same time slot on the show. We've been able to get like one of them individually,
right?
But you know, to ask, because you know it's an ask to be like, can y'all coordinate y'all schedule into something that is gonna align with what we're doing?
Yeah.
And we're flexible, we'll figure it out,
right? Because you know Reggie be off being a superstar and traveling and acting on Broadway and all that type of stuff,
right? And so to be like, hey, can y'all, you know, can y'all figure that out for us and be able to pull it off? I mean, that's so dope, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hate that it happens this way.
We hate that everything slowed down like this, but we glad we got them in the same spot.
Love to get to talk to my friends. I found myself too heartbroken to contribute feedback last week, but I couldn't let that happen again this week, even if the world's still a dumpster fire. I love you guys. Monica, thank you. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed those episodes.
You too.
The poll was, do you ever go live on your social media accounts? I don't have social media. Yes or no?
Yes, I do. I haven't done it in a hot minute, but I do though.
Okay. When was the last time you did it?
Ooh. Been years. I think the last.
Yeah, I would put you under the no category.
Okay. Well, then I'm a no then.
Yeah, that's a no.
Because I'm about to say, I don't do it that often.
Yeah, if it's been years, that's a no.
Okay. Well, then no.
I just,
knock me off the list. My bad. Subtract one.
Mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people cheated like that. I don't have social media. Only 2% of artists doesn't even have social media.
Oh, somebody bought the Mary J. Blige concert, but that was last year, wasn't it? Was it this year?
That was last year with my mom. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess that counts. Yeah, you go live. Boom, back in the yeses.
Thank you.
13% said yes. That's not a lot of people. And I think it's because it's one of those things where, for me personally, I creatively did not understand the point. I need to understand. It's that thing Questlove brought up, you know, at the beginning of the show, or that I brought up, that Questlove had brought up in his book, is if I don't understand something creatively, I will wrap my brain around it until I either get it or I just push it off and go, okay, I will come back to this when I have something to contribute. And I didn't understand going live and why people did it. And I know people think it's really simple, it's no big deal, you don't need to understand anything, blah, blah, blah. That's fine for their brains, but I can only live in the brain I have.
Right.
And the brain I have wants to find a use. And I think the cooking thing was a big use for me. I had several ideas before this that were like, I was gonna go live and give like my top five NBA players or something, or go live and do that. You know, these were ideas I had, but they were less fleshed out, and they get into the work category where it's quasi, like I gotta come up with some work shit, and maybe I'll incorporate it into my Facebook cooking thing where I'll be talking about NBA players and shit and cooking, you know, maybe we'll do that. But yeah, so I just wanted to add something of service first and then figure it out from there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, I guess I kind of need a reason, because like I said, I did it when me and your mom went to see Mary J. Blige, which was a lot of fun. I did it when we went to NegroCon and AwesomeCon. I do that when we do live. I know I went live when we did our show here in Charlotte. Like, but for me, it has to be, I guess it has to be a reason behind it. You know, I've never went live just because, if that makes sense. Like, an event is happening around me that I feel like it's important enough to go live. Like, when your mama had a birthday party, I went live then.
Right.
You know, so it, like, if something's going on, I was like, okay, this is a live moment. I'll do it like that. You know, and it don't have to be nothing important, but I'm like, okay, this is a live moment for me that I feel like sharing.
And then 85% of the audience say no, they have not gone live, so that makes sense. Layla writes in, going live seems narcissistic to me. Very look at me. I can understand going live as a podcast, traffic stop, or showing how to's, but not when you're in the car holding a stack up to your ear or at the club, making it worthwhile or beneficial. Layla, that is an interesting choice of words. What, Karen? Because the thing I would add is that I think having social media is narcissistic by itself.
Yeah, just the nature, because when you post something, you're going, these are my thoughts. When you post a picture, you're going, this is my family. Any interaction that you have is about you, just period. Because, you know, you do have lurkers and all that stuff, but for the fact that most people are sharing intimate things in their lives, and it doesn't mean it's important or anything like that. Some events are, but it's just the interaction with other people. And I do understand, you know, what you say, but just social media itself is designed for that type of personality. And everybody has a little bit of that in them.
Well, I think also, like, social media exacerbates the narcissism in us.
Correct.
It's, you know, and it's that thing where, like, I think there's arguments for why it's good, because it has helped some people gain confidence.
Yeah, it has.
It also has stripped people of certain confidence.
I've
you know
seen it too.
Like, hey, I'm looking at, you know, I'm seeing all these pictures of these women that's all cut up and using fucking waist trainers and shit, and it's making me feel inadequate in my body. So I've seen that before, but I've also seen people that's like, yo, I love me more now because I can see what I can see what other people see, or I can see a way to like myself. So it's just a catch-22. And I also had an aversion to going live just to talk to people about certain shit, because we had the podcast, which I'm sure is another act of narcissism in a way. So we had the podcast already. So I was good on that. I didn't feel like I need to express myself so they know how I feel about, you know, Black Lives Matter or something. I'm like, nigga, if you don't know how I feel, you just don't want to know. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, so that I didn't feel the need to do that, but I bet people who don't have that outlet might feel like, let me go live because I'm feeling a certain way about this, that, and the other, and this is gonna tell people where I stand, and they don't know what I feel about these issues, and, you know, I may have friends that have posted some dumb shit, and so let me go on Instagram Live and tell them I feel this way, you know? But it's all narcissistic, because end of the day, you're holding something pointed at your face, pointed out the rest of the world.
Yeah, and also for some people, particularly with everything being shut down, some people are lonely. They're alone. They feel kind of cut off from everybody and everyone. And when they go live, it's that human interaction digitally that they normally would go to the club or go outside or go running or do whatever their normal routine is, and all of a sudden those, they normally wouldn't have went live, but they're going live for the fact that they need that interaction with other human beings so that they know that they're not alone.
Yeah, in the quarantine you've seen a lot more people go live.
I've seen a lot more,
you know, because it's like we're missing in the face interaction. Like, not to get too deep, but I feel like a lot of the protest crowd is because people been indoors.
Correct.
And I'm not saying they don't care about George Floyd. I'm not saying they don't care about Black Lives Matter. Right. I think they do care. But when they know it's dangerous enough to die in a pandemic because of this, or you're gonna possibly get sick, and you know people are out there not social distancing, not wearing masks, or any of that shit, and you know this is a possibility for you, but you still go out there, part of it is bravery and a love for Black lives, but part of it is also we don't ever get to be around people anymore. Mm-mm. You're not going to work as often. You're not going to church. You're not hanging. So this is now a place where we are congregating under one cause, and I'm sure, but you know, not just, it's not all chants and anger and rage. Some of the shit is just small talk. Some of the shit is, hey, I just need to be out here and mass with other people and show that. And I think that's, you know, I think that's real, you know what I mean? And I think also people want to hear from certain people.
Yes.
And as long as that is a thing, then it's almost like, if it's narcissism or whatever, then it's kind of feeding that narcissism. Because like, if you go on people's live but you don't go live yourself, which is fine, then you are saying, I do want to see people go live, you
right
know?
I just choose not to, right, but I want to see other people, right?
So, you know, I would, it would just depend on how
which
you feel.
There's,
I mean,
there's a lot more people that's like that. They personally wouldn't, but they will consume other people.
I think it would depend on your word choice and just how you feel about the person, because one person's narcissism is another person's confidence.
Come on.
In this instance, anyway. Yeah. Kim Doc, because we're not talking about, obviously, clinical narcissism.
Right.
Kim Doc says, I thought about going live, but being off camera and playing my Fire playlist and some deep cuts for my iTunes catalog, but that would be shut down. So maybe if I do a Zoom listening session where the fam and friends, whoever wanted to join, come through and vibe. I'm not DJ Nice, so it ain't that important at this time. Yeah, and I think the other thing with live is you don't know what the audience will be.
Right.
You don't know who's gonna want to see it, who's gonna give a fuck, who's gonna come in and talk and contribute to the conversation, or whatever. And so that's that. You know, there's that too. I think if people knew for a fact every time I go live, 400 people would want to see it, then people would probably do it more often. But the like, you probably feel bad if you go live and like two people is watching. You know, the other day I watched somebody go through their plants on their balcony, and it was just me and them. Like, they was live, and I was just in there hanging out watching them talk about plants.
And that's fine. I've been in there where it's been two or three people, and the person was just fine, and it was just the talking, and they, you know, they did their thing, because a lot of times it's not even about the interaction. It's just, I just want to know there's other people out there.
Well, also with Facebook, you can, they had an option where you can share it to your page, so people can see it later too. But yes, yeah, it's all interesting. It's all new to me, the live shit. So we got 2015, ma'am, this is a Trader Joe's.
Yes it is.
We had five comments. Let's see here. Ann says, I have to confess that I used to be a Burger King loyal customer for years when they had a restaurant across the street from my office. The convenience made it taste good. I have no regrets. You make the best of your situation. I'm just gonna put it this way, Ann. Okay, and it's never a quality endorsement for anything when you say you make the best of your situation. You know, like that sound
proximity.
Yeah, that sound like ramen pride. You see what I'm saying? That sounds like spam. You know, they don't sound like you.
Like I was just working with what I had.
You know what this is? This is any man that has ever complimented his girl with an Instagram post that read something like this. Today, I just want to give praise and honor to my queen who held me down even through all the cheating and abuse, and even when I had a baby with her sister.
What?
She still stayed here and raised the baby because she's a good woman, unlike the rest of you thoughts. Okay, no, she may not look attractive.
Oh,
okay,
no.
She might not look like all the dimes I used to fuck and all the models I follow on Instagram, but you know what she is? faithful and loyal, and she has been here from the bottom and she is with me now at the top. Okay, so today,
that's what Burger King saying about her.
Today is your birthday. No, that's what she's saying about Burger King.
Oh, okay.
Today, happy birthday. That's what you said when you said made the best of your situation and convenience made it taste good. That is the she held me down.
Burger King held you down.
Yeah, that's the she held me down of Yelp reviews over there.
Like I didn't have another choice. You plotted in your scheme, Burger King.
Don't no restaurant want this.
Are you happy now?
Don't no restaurant want this, okay? You may think that was a compliment. Burger King is somewhere like, damn, just slap me in my face, why don't you? I mean, I guess since I didn't have a car and I worked in Burger King, they held me down.
Mm-mm. Right in front of my salad?
That's Burger King right there. Like, really? Right in front of my salad. You gonna say that. Angela says, love you guys so much. I'm frequently listening and shaking, laughing at jokes and puns. Rod and Karen really help us through these times. Thank you for making so much content. The dude that lied about being robbed taught at a Christian school that was founded because the government made Georgia schools desegregate. The founders of the school were Tattnall Square Baptist Church and Mercer University. They kicked an African-American man who attended Mercer U down the church steps when he tried to attend church one Sunday. Religious. Jesus would want us to kick your black ass down these steps.
Right.
It may have been the pastor, but I don't want to lie. I think it was an authority figure that did it. Well, that seems like more of a deacon thing than a pastor kicking niggas down the steps. You outsource that. The school website says nothing about this, of course. Now this dude, I grew up in this town and attended a parochial school in the 80s. We had black students at my school. One debate team always debated these types of schools, and there was maybe one or two, if any, attending these quote-unquote Christian schools. Most of the black folks who could attend private schools avoided that one and looked askance at those who wanted to go. That tradition continues to this day. There may be one or two black students at that school now. Shaking my head. Damn. Well, I mean, I guess they got their point across kicking people down the stairs. Everybody knew. Like, yeah, so you definitely don't want to go to that school.
Not unless you like rumbling down the stairs.
Dia writes in, Dia, why you acting like a... Rod, your joke, you joke that you can say Karen because you were married to a Karen. But don't forget, you are a white woman of color. Great shows this week. Of course. That is our word, okay? There's a Karen in our chat right now with two R's in her name, and that's what I said. Hard, two hard R's, okay? Said she won't speak to the CEO, okay? Monica said, I had a job once where my lunch break was so short that one of the only places I could find a spot to sit down and eat was the local Burger King. It was never, ever crowded and almost never had a line. All the seats in the world to sit down and eat my chicken nuggets, and she spelled chyqn and nuggets in quotes. Bet you could maintain 6 feet distance there today.
I bet you can.
Yeah. Now here's my thing. I don't know if she wrote in today, but is EVE gonna defend this too?
It ain't Arby's, so nah.
Is she gonna try to tell me that Burger King is, cause well, we didn't know she loved Arby's until I said, brought up that Arby's is trash. So is she gonna do the same thing all of a sudden? Is she gonna be a Burger King truther too?
I don't think she will. What, she might prove me wrong, but I don't think she will.
And if she hates Burger King but loves Arby's, what does that really say about her, y'all? Think about it. We all know both are trash, okay? In regards to the looting and rioting that infiltrated peaceful protests to the objection of black participants, I've been worried that different cause and agenda would take over the protest, but guess what? The police have done such an outstanding job of giving real-time evidence of brutality and excessive force that it made the protest really laser focus back to the original goal. Yeah, listen.
Come on, they charged them. There was some white man was out there and they pushed them down. They was like, well, we charging y'all.
Yeah, the police are nothing if not consistent.
Come on, white folks was like, y'all beat us up too. Yes, bitch. You can get some of these batons too.
Since the motherfucking civil rights era, these motherfuckers have been playing the hits.
All the hits.
Nothing but the hits all the time.
Mm-hmm.
On.
And you the drum.
Channel 12. Okay. Don't touch that dial. It's got blood on it. These motherfuckers stay hitting us. And I think that's the one thing that really brought it all back, because I do think, I mean, we have proof that people have tried to agitate the protesters and be amongst the protesters, including cops, whether they be stacking up rocks and bricks while quote unquote undercover, or what. Like, they have been trying to turn it into, this is not the peaceful black people y'all think they are. They're really just a bunch of animals and thugs that's just destroying and looting the community, and that's why we have to quell them with violence. We can only fix this through violence, because that's the only way the police know how to operate with these crowds, you know. While I do think it's more complicated talking about police and police work and what people think are solutions to police work, mm-hmm. than what we're seeing at the protests, obviously, I think for protesting, messages need to be simple, and there's no simpler message than, these dirty motherfuckers are out here beating the shit out of people, shooting them, injuring people, many of them just being journalists. Arresting people who are trying to protect stores, which is the thing they claim they want to do. You know, all sorts of racial bias, all this stuff. So I think, yeah, there's no better argument against police than filming the police, because they will show you why the fuck they need to not even be allowed to do the things they do, you know. I've never seen so many white people on the Upper West Side of Manhattan angry at the police. On behalf of black people? Really? Okay. It feels surreal. As soon as white people here in NYC, including the press, started getting beat up and arrested, well, let's just say there's a lot of animosity toward the police and support for the protesters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monica, I won't even say I don't live in New York, but I won't even say I've never seen white people so supportive before. I feel like there's been other times white people have been supportive. I just think the conditions of having Trump in office, egging it on, mm-hmm. having a pandemic where you can't leave the house and you're seeing these images on TV over and over. And
people just in general are fed up. Having social jobs.
Having social media that is connecting us more than ever. I think those combinations have made white people be more vocal. A lot of black people have been demanding that they be more vocal, whether, you know, to their detriment or not. And so I think all those things add up, and that's why we're seeing so much. But I'm glad to hear white people getting fed up on our behalf, or at least, you know, because even when they don't understand, there's a lot of people who are white, but they have good hearts. They don't understand it.
Correct.
And they haven't read up on all this shit, and I know that they should. I'm not, you know. Mm-hmm. But
their intentions are not malicious.
Right. And there's been an outpouring of black people wanting sympathy and understanding for the last few months. And there's been a similar inpouring of empathy. And I think as you see a president who directly opposes black people who literally want to be left the fuck alone.
That's it. Just leave us
You're
alone.
Starting to see white people activated in a way that can't be ignored by the United States, because it's the paradox, right? White supremacy is not really about white people individually, but white people in mass cannot be ignored, or else it's not white supremacy anymore. Right. And so that's why whenever we've had progress in this country, is because a plurality of white people, even if it wasn't for the best intentions, even if they weren't prepared to ride or die, they just wanted shit to be fixed. And that's how we've ever really gotten progress in America. There's a bunch of fucking white people. Every time, it happens the same way. Black people get drugged through the mud, get fucked up. And then at some point, a bunch of white people go, these niggers are people. And then we have one of these moments in America. And I think we are in the crux of one right now.
Yeah, because that's the way history has worked. And I understand people's anger, and I understand people's frustration, and it's valid. But the work that actually needs to be done, the laws that actually need to be passed and enforced, you've got to have white people involved. And I understand black people are so angry, they just don't want to hear from anybody white. Just shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Okay, I get you. But at the same time, when they come to the table, you can't be so anti them that you don't even allow them to do what they need to do to get to the point that you need to get to. Nobody, no one race can get the shit done. We know we can't get it done because they don't listen to us, no way.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't even fucking want to see, I don't even care that much about whether white people get their feelings hurt or not. Mm-hmm. I don't really care that much about their guilt and stuff. I mean, I care on a human level, obviously, correct, but I don't really give that much of a fuck. I low key understand even these grifting ass niggas, because there's been like a slate of motherfuckers that are going to make money and power moves off of this that are clearly single-minded individuals that really care more about themselves and their brands than us. Right. You know, there's a lot of people riding this shit into guilting corporations into giving them, you know, a platform and shit. And I really honestly am disgusted by shit like that. But I haven't said anything, and I'm not gonna say anything. As far as like online, I'm not talking to anyone about it. I'm not gonna confront anyone, add anyone. Because this to me feels like the Black Me Too movement, where it's kind of like, get what you can because this won't last.
Right, right.
If you think white people are gonna set this to the new default, then you're mm-hmm. gonna be very, very, very disappointed.
Yes, you are.
In a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. So if now is the time, that's why you see all these Black people getting these gripes out that don't got really anything to do with Black mm-hmm. Lives Matter. You see motherfuckers being like, well, if Black Lives Matter, then how come you was mean to me at the job? It's like, that is not the same as what happened to George Floyd, but this is might be one of the few opportunities you get where white people are actually listening and white people are apologizing and compromising and trying to make amends. This is one of the few times, and I said this on the show a few weeks ago, prescient as always, okay, let me pat myself on the back, okay, let me go Facebook Live because I'm gonna get narcissistic real quick, but I told people, man, Donald Trump is so racist, he lowered the bar to where even a virulent fucking racist can come out and be like, I think these niggers are people, and everyone has to be like, well, he's better than Trump. Don't matter what they did. Don't matter. Drew Brees fucked up on Tuesday. It's Saturday. Them players on his team are already tweeting how much they forgive him. Because the bar has become that low. This nigga is under the floor. The bar is in hell. The bar is in hell because of this dude. So everybody get out of racism free card. 700 Club, Pat Robertson. He came out and was like, yeah, Trump tripping right now. Like, everyone is getting a pass. No one can really call them the car because they're like, I'm not worse than this nigga. And everybody, you have to be like, well, you're not worse than, no one's worse than him. He is the worst. But yeah,
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you. Mm-hmm. And when did I tell you? A long time ago. And what did I say will happen when I told you? Exactly what just happened.
That's what we're experiencing. Karen, you gonna say something?
I'm about to say, and what's sad is that I've come to the conclusion with racism the same way I come to the conclusion of men caring about women. I don't give a fuck how you get there. I just want results that will benefit me. Right. And that's the end of the day. And once you get to that point where I don't give a fuck how you get there, just get there. Like once you get to that point, a lot of your anger, a lot of your frustration, a lot of your sadness and all that stuff, not that it won't be there, it will not be as intense. Right. Because you get to the point where you go, I don't care. You here? Okay, let's go. I don't care that you weren't here last week, last month, last year. I don't care that you didn't post nothing. Who gives a fuck? I look you in the eye, you look me in the eye. All right, white people, let's go. Once you get to that point, it makes it easier for you to digest, so that all the anger you have is not targeted at that individual person. It's actually trying to help you get to your end results. Do you want the results or not?
Yeah, I think also you just can't, there's a fundamental lack of understanding, and it takes way too much time.
Correct.
To walk people through the right steps. What people want, and ideally we all should want this, but when I want someone to understand me, and when I want to understand somebody, and when I want, you know, there's like a process. And that process is steps, right? Steps of understanding, steps of empathy, steps towards, you know, towards becoming an ally or a co-conspirator, whatever catchy buzzword people want to use today to be mad at tomorrow. That is an important part of the process, right? And I get that, because once you do that, you have a lot more chance of permanence of them being on your side, because they went through the right steps, right? You ideally want to, if you're trying to convince somebody to be on your side for women, right? You would like to walk them through the steps so that they arrive there and they go, I understand why I'm over here completely. So you don't have to worry about me just hopping back over the fence, because I know what I'm doing over here. Mm-hmm. And I recognize there is only one place to be on the right side of this thing.
That takes a lot of work.
And more importantly, a lot of time.
Right. Which is something I don't have right now. Motherfucker, I'm goddamn dying. So let's go.
Right. So when you don't have the fucking time, it's like, we got to take a lot of half measures to get people over here.
Correct.
So you're seeing a lot of people come out and be like, what about this shit you said? And then you see, you know, essentially if they just go, hey, I learned from that. We just accepting all applications right now.
All of them.
Last night I made a joke, I love when people do the who this, right?
Yes.
I've come 100%. I've come 180 on that. At first I was like, this shit's stupid. Cause every time one of these motherfuckers try to be helpful or be like, I get it, I understand now, I've been reading, I've been doing this, y'all just jump down their throat and be like, but one time back in 2005, you said blank. And at first I was like, well, how the fuck is that helpful? But then I started laughing. And you know, once I'm laughing, I'm like, who cares if it's helpful? At least it's funny. It's right. Helpful to me because I'm laughing. And so I tried to get me one last night. Mark Cuban put out, and I was looking, hoping I could find one. But you know, I'm not the best at Twitter receipts. So I don't really roll in those circles.
Yes, some people are really good at that. It is a art to that.
I don't follow celebrities and shit. So, So he tweeted out something about how he understands racism, you know, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. There's like this statement. And so then I was like, oh, Mark Cuban, I remember this. We covered it on Balls D Sports. A few years back, he said, he was talking about racism. He's talking about Donald Sterling. And one of his things is like, you know, we all are a little bit racist. I mean, if I seen a black kid walking down the street, I'll cross the street, but I don't feel like it's racist, because if it was saw a white dude with full of face tattoos, I crossed the street.
I remember that. He did that right. A few years ago.
And so I went and found a headline to that article. I googled it, and then I took a screenshot of it, and then I cut and chopped it down to just the headline and his face, and I posted it on Twitter, and I quote tweeted him, and I said, this you? And I said, oh, I got him! I got me one, y'all! I was celebrating.
You caught one.
I was in the house looking at my phone, smiling. I said, ooh, I beat everybody to it too. Nobody else did it before me.
Okay. I
hit them with the dish you way before anybody else hit them with the dish you. It was amazing. It was one of the best feelings on Twitter ever. It didn't go viral really. It only got 58 retweets, 167 likes, but it still felt great. Cause right. I just wanted to have one to be like, this is, oh, I was giddy. And then this nigga responded.
Okay.
Mark Cuban said, because I said, this you, and the title said, Mark Cuban comes under fire for claiming he crossed the street if he saw a black kid in a hoodie. And he says, yes, it was.
Oh!
I've learned a lot since then. I used to think the best way to be was colorblind and to never use race or gender as a factor. That was a mistake. I've done a lot more listening to people's experiences since then. And I said, that's dope. I hope you keep it up. Appreciate the response. And that was all I had to say, because I mean,
what can you say against that?
That was a good ass fucking response.
You know what that's called? Growth.
That is called growth. And honestly, I didn't want to spend out. I didn't think he was gonna respond. I really thought it was gonna be a joke.
Most of the time they don't.
Yeah, the rest of them don't respond. I thought it would just be a funny joke and then leave it at that. And
he was like, no, I got the time. The NBA season ain't playing.
He made the time. And then because of the way my brain is set up, I don't like harboring petty grudges and shit. So when he said he got it, you know, he learned, I'm like, all right, cool, good enough for me. It's not my job to quiz you on this shit. Have a good one. And I moved on with my life. But yeah, that like
You don't even participate, right? You get the one person who was like, yeah, I'm my bad.
I feel like a few weeks ago, a month ago, hey, he wouldn't have probably responded to that.
True.
He wouldn't even put out that statement. Mm-mm. That's why this feels a little Me Too-ish. And I know it's not the same, but
right.
Get it in while you can get it in, because you might get an answer. You might get that apology. You might get an explanation.
Come on, hit that grease while it's hot.
Yeah, so now's the time. So if a nigga cut you off in line at Qdoba, hey, bring it up.
Did maybe.
You might get some reparations out the shit. I don't know. Shout out to my girl Jay from T with Queen and Jay, talking about some, you should ask her for some money. I was like, first of all, that's some capitalistic bullshit, okay? Because then if I got money, what I'm gonna do with it? I'm gonna be a black capitalist. Now I got money and you niggas hate me, so you ain't tricking me, Jay. Now I'm gonna be thrown in the pit again. Y'all, you know, Queen gonna be
trying to stay out the pit, ain't you?
Queen gonna be talking about me in the opening segment, talking about I don't connect to regular black people no more. Mark Cuban gave me $1 million and now I don't know how to act. I don't think so.
It took you a while to get out last time.
Right. I was hating everything bagels before I had some money. Is that really what you want walking around on these streets? I don't think so. Y'all ain't canceling me. I get money, I'm gonna have it on the low. I'm not gonna ask no white man in public.
Ain't nobody gonna know.
I'm gonna still be taking pictures in my Altima before I go hop in my Porsche and ride out on y'all niggas, okay? Eve says, Rod, I don't want like saying I'm wrong, so I won't start now. But I will never say another bad thing about Taylor Swift. In my Martin voice, damn, are you happy now? You know what, Evie? That's as close as I'm gonna get to happy about all of it. So
we'll take it.
If I can convert one of you Negroes at a time to, I'm not even trying to get y'all to be fans of Taylor Swift. Mm-mm. I'm trying to get y'all to. I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift. Taylor, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I don't listen to this woman's music. Okay, I like Shake It Off. Okay, that is
that's
it.
My bop.
That's
my
the
jam.
List. That is the list.
Shake it off.
She might have dope music. I don't know. Cause I've never been inclined to even be curious to check the music out beyond that. But what I will say is she was doing a lot more than people told me she was capable of doing.
Y'all, I was the way told, y'all talk, she was the devil.
I was told she was the alt-right, make America great again white woman. And it turns out that is not true. You know? And this is one of the problems with the silence's complicity type of shit, because that's not 100%. That doesn't line up all the time.
Her fan base may have been, but that doesn't mean she was.
Right. And also it just takes time, man. Like, I had this dope conversation today with Chris Lambert on his Mundane Festival podcast with his Patreon, so you guys probably won't hear it. And maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow with Roy Wood Jr. because he loves sports, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on Balls Deep.
Okay.
But there's this video going around of all these black stars in the NFL, and they came out and basically said, hey, I am George Floyd, I am Breonna Taylor, I am Trayvon Martin, I am Tamir Rice, and they said they wanted the NFL to speak out, and the NFL put out a video, Roger Goodell himself addressing exactly what they said, repeating what they said, and going beyond it to say Black Lives Matter, blah blah blah. Now there's some other levels to it that are sports related that I don't think a lot of the people that are angry, they either don't understand how the sport works, or they're just so angry that I think when you bring up Kaepernick's name, they see red.
Correct.
But it's clear to me at this point, Roger Goodell wants Kaepernick back in the league. Jay-Z obviously wants Kaepernick back in the league. They don't have the power to do it because it's 32 owners and they're rich white dudes who don't have to collude to say we don't want that nigga on our team.
Yeah, they don't have to talk to each other for nobody to pick them.
Right. That being said, though, people were downing the video. They were saying, why didn't these black dudes come out 2-3 years ago when Kaepernick took a knee? And if we go down the timeline, I won't get too detailed, but number one, when Kaepernick took a knee, he was still in the league. He was in the league for another year after that. So that's one reason that you don't see these people being like, we need to make sure he's in the league. He wasn't always not in the league. Right? So you have that 1 year that he plays where some players are kneeling with him, some aren't, you know, but there he has a job. There's no need to start feeling like he won't ever work again, right? Then he opts out of his contract. He doesn't get signed anywhere. And then people go, well, throughout the season, he'll probably get picked. He'll get picked up. And we get so late in the season, it's obvious he won't get picked up. Even if someone gets hurt, they'd rather roll out there with a nigga that was bagging groceries.
Come on.
Than Colin Kaepernick. Okay. People go, so at that time, it's kind of lost its meaning and significance, because once the owners took a knee with the players and the fucking coaches took a knee and all this shit, Drew Brees, who says don't disrespect the flag, took a knee. You can find the pictures, guys. Once you see that, it's co-opted the movement, and the knee doesn't mean as nearly as much as it used to.
Mm-mm.
You know, Kaepernick's now the symbol, not the knee.
Right.
Said this on Balls Deep. So me, it's been years ago at this point, and once again, I told you so. But the point is, people were shitting on these dudes. Like, why weren't you saying something years ago? Blah blah blah. Well, it escalated, right? Because the president escalated it. The owners and their collusion against, I call it collusion, I don't think it was, but it might not meet the legal definition, but you know what I mean, blackballing him, that escalated. The killing of George Floyd escalated. It's probably the worst killing they've ever caught on tape. And so all this shit escalated it to a point where now these players feel compelled to speak out. And lost in the fucking sauce, these niggas are young as shit. Like, this is not really an age when most of us were prepared to fucking speak out. Mm-mm. At our workplace about racism in general.
Mm-mm.
That is not to knock,
most won't now,
that's not to knock us as young people. We had right. to make choices. That's not to knock the players who didn't do it. That's not to shit on the ones who did. It's just a process. The same way as a process for Taylor Swift to be 30 and be like, actually, I don't want my father's management company to tell me what the fuck to do no more. I love other women. I am a feminist. I love gay people. I love Black Lives Matter to me. I am a fucking Democrat / whatever you want to call it, right? I'm not a Republican. Shit like that takes time. And so we afford it to the people we empathize the most with.
Correct.
We afford time, especially if they fit your marginalization, right? I'm a Black man. I look at other Black men. I see it took Jay-Z 50 years to get it on some levels. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, I afford him that luxury. But then at the same token, if it took, say, Trina 50 years to get it, you know, as a Black man, I'm supposed to be like, well, fuck Trina. It took her 50 years. She should have been known, right? Because this not my marginalization. She outside of my group. I get the shit on that group.
Right.
That's how most people attack it. I try not to. You know, I'm never 100% successful, but I really try not to do that to people. I try to be like, look, you meet people where the fuck they are. Everyone's path is their own. That doesn't mean we never say anything when you're wrong on the way to wherever your destination is, and it doesn't mean we gotta agree with everything and all that shit, but it does mean I have to leave a little bit of room for the fact that you're a human fucking being and you're developing. So a 25 year old Black quarterback who's doesn't have any real job security might be scared to come out and be like, I'm gonna make the NFL bow down and say this.
Right, because nobody's born into speak it out. Most, right. Particularly most Black people are actually tossed and thrown into it because something tragic happens and they have to speak out. Most people would prefer just to live their normal ass life and be all right. So you're asking somebody that is just tossed to just come out and just be the face of some shit and know all the right words and know how to say it and be represented, like, that is impossible.
And many of us have the luxury of not having our mistakes dragged out in front of us. Correct. We have the luxury of not being asked at 21 like Dak Prescott was about fucking race. Like, at 21, I'm not on the record anywhere for how the fuck I felt about
right.
Blackness, whiteness, Black lives, Black on Black crime. I'm not on the record anywhere. So I can just come out and be high and mighty at 40 and be like, oh, this stupid motherfucker. I'm like, well, he also is fucking young and dumb and probably dumb, because we're all dumb at that age. Mm-hmm. And has lived a different life than I've lived.
Right.
You know? And so it might take him 3-4 years. It might take him some bad comments before he realizes, oh, this is important. Oh, you know what? That thing that I thought was such a simple solution I'm seeing from the backlash to what I said that this is not right, or I'm seeing just from my life, just life experience. I look at the same news you look at, and I see it's not what I thought it was.
Yeah, because everybody young has theories. Everybody that's old, when you was young, you had theories on what marriage was, what kids was, what your life would be, about race, about sexuality. You had your goddamn theories, and some of them were true and some of them were wrong, but you were allowed to grow privately with not a camera in your face, nobody interviewing you, nobody following you and marking down your every move.
You have people that they're saying, why didn't you say something? And I'm looking at the video like, was Saquon Barkley even in the fucking league? You know what I mean? Like, what was he supposed to say? Like, this is us putting our anger onto these dudes.
Right.
Like, y'all late. This is now my time. Saquon Barkley ain't even got a new contract. Like, if he loses his contract behind this, and we just gonna have another Kaepernick to be like, well, at least you went out as a martyr. Give some respect to the fact that they did risk something. Give some respect to the fact that there's so many black players in that league that didn't say anything. Give them some respect to the fact that those people on that fucking thing were stars. Patrick Mahomes was on that. Last year, when he won, before he won the Super Bowl, maybe it was 2 years ago, they interviewed Patrick Mahomes to ask him about, hey, you know, if you win this, a black quarterback will win the Super Bowl. And he was like, I don't understand why that's so important. They're like, you know, Doug Williams. He was like, I didn't even understand why Doug Williams winning the Super Bowl was such a big deal. I had to go read up and learn about that.
Right.
That's the fucking point. These niggas are not, everyone not born a fucking activist or woke-tivist or whatever the fuck. Some of these people are living their lives and they get sucked into it because blackness sucks everyone into this. You don't get a choice. You have to find, at some point you have to make some kind of stand or some statement. It doesn't matter if you don't want to make a statement, that becomes a statement too. If you live long enough, right? And so all that stuff to say, like, it's easy to afford that to black people if you have a genuine love for black people, right, and understanding of our humanity. And that's what I'm able to do for those dudes on that video, and I loved it. But it doesn't stop there for me, is my point. I feel the same way when it's somebody that may, a white woman, I feel the same way for them having to unlearn bullshit. A white man has to unlearn some bullshit. A black man has to unlearn some bullshit. Straight people have to unlearn some bullshit. People that are not disabled, not in the disabled community, you have to learn to unlearn some bullshit.
Yeah.
Everyone, people walk around with a fucking like high and mighty attitude, like, yeah, I just started here. If you keep reading and you keep learning, you keep being around other people, you're gonna look back at yourself and be like, I didn't know shit at this point in time.
Right.
That's the goal.
Like that's the goal, is to learn and grow and evolve. And you know, my thing and one part of me that I never want to die is my compassion, because a lot of these people that are having a lot of demands on these players, motherfucker, somebody says something racist at you at your normal 9-to-5, you don't bust in there, go Attica and burn that motherfucker down. What do? You go to work, you take care of your paycheck, you continue to take care of your family. That's what you do at your job. They're at work too. Just because right. They get paid more does not mean that they're not at work.
Yeah, so all that stuff to say, like, this is why I try to get in the business of applauding people for progress rather than only admonishing people all the time, because what happens is people get so addicted to that community of admonishment. When a nigga makes some progress, they get mad at them for that too.
Right.
Well, what was y'all 2 years ago? Have y'all actually sat down and analyzed that video and seen who was even in a position to say something 2 years ago? You know, like, let's be real, you know, unless all the players are going to coordinate it anyway. And then the last thing I'll say before I move on out off of that topic is this, shout out to the black people who work at the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because the work you don't see behind the scenes is that.
Right.
The black people who say, hey, 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 we're not giving up the fight. And we're on the inside trying to get Kaepernick back in the league, trying to help public opinion, not to save the NFL from, like, to say, like, fuck black people, how do we get PR for the NFL? Those black people are working there to be like, how do we save the soul of this fucking, you know, capitalistic, conservative corporation? How do we on the inside work on the diversity initiatives, work on Black Lives Matter initiative, work on social justice campaigns? It's not just Jay-Z. It's not just one person. Like, there are people who have fucking jobs there, who are like, what do we do to make this statement happen? Now, I'm not going to say, I don't know anything more than anyone else, but I would not be surprised if all this was not coordinated via the NFL office, period. And I know how it looks like these players forced the NFL into this. I wouldn't be surprised if this was like when Joe Biden used to float ideas so Obama could come in and dunk. Like, I would not be surprised if the NFL's like, we want to come down on the side of this, but we got a horrible history. We look terrible right now. And Roger Goodell and the people that work in this office are very desirous to be on the right side of history, but we know our owners aren't. So if we could get the fucking players to look like they recorded some videos on their phone on their own, and then now we can come on the back end and be like, yes, like our player said, we support them and we support black life, blah blah blah, because Roger Goodell been trying to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hard to write about because people just mostly see this dude's face and scrounge up and think he's just like a racist piece of shit. And I'm not saying he's not, I don't know this nigga, but I know that he's been very desirous to not look like a racist piece of shit. He doesn't want to look like he doesn't want Colin Kaepernick in the league, you know, and he has a difficult line to walk because you also can't look like you want him in the league because you do work for them 32 owners who don't want him in the league. So anyway, that did not mean to go on that tangent, but that's a big thing that's happening. All right. Now let's get to these comments on the poll. Which do you prefer, Trader Joe's or Whole Foods? Karen?
Ooh, Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's, 75% of the audience agrees with Karen. Mm-hmm. Trader Joe's, what is it about Trader Joe's you like over Whole Foods, Karen?
It's cheaper overall. Mm-hmm. Like this shit is cheaper and you get a lot more different stuff. You know, you get a lot more of like their own personal stuff that's actually really good. Cause you know, we walk around and shit like that. You're like, oh, this is some Trader Joe's brand cookies. You be like, oh, this shit is flames.
Yeah, Trader Joe's with the snacks.
They got all the goddamn snacks.
Yeah. Trader Joe's is with the snacks. So I fuck with that. I would say, let's get to the comments. I think I'm, see, that's the other thing. I don't go in Whole Foods that often because it's just not.
It's
so expensive.
Right. It's not my vibe.
I think Trader Joe's for me too.
Yeah, because you're not trying to fuck. We're not going out. I always feel like I'm not gonna say out of place, but you be like, okay, now that came to this fancy ass expensive place. How do you pronounce that? I don't know. I feel like this ain't the spot for me.
Yeah, with Trader Joe's, I want to eat. I want to come back soon.
Right.
With Whole Foods, even when I leave there, I'm never like, can't wait to go back. Trader Joe's, I'm like, soup dumplings, I'll be back tomorrow, you know?
Come on.
All right. So Barbara says two words, cookie butter. Mic drop. Layla says, I chose Whole Foods only because it's closer. Trader Joe's is too far. The Whole Foods is down the block. Been to Trader Joe's once and it reminded me of Aldi's. I didn't know the brands. It was small. Thought I was going to have to bag my own shit. I tried to boycott Whole Foods when they gave them cop sandwiches the one other time we were protesting. No, the other time. Not that time. Okay, like 5 protests ago. I couldn't hang because I can't buy my meat and veggies from Target, but now I want to know what his cookie butter stuff is Barbara's talking about. Yeah, I feel like if you're not hitting up the snacks in Trader Joe's, you ain't really been.
Oh, them snacks are absolutely delicious. We went to Trader Joe's. I think we've been doing this annually, particularly around pumpkin season time, and we buy
pumpkin spice season time.
I'm sorry, pumpkin spice season time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. And you know they have pumpkin spice shit that you wouldn't even know. Pumpkin spice cookies and cakes and it'd be so delicious, y'all.
Tish says Trader Joe's is cheaper and they have the depression meals on lock. If you know how to eat and don't have it in you to cook or even go through motions of ordering delivery, they have some tasty options for you in the frozen section. Their ethnic food is surprisingly good, even when it's been frozen. Yeah, the soup dumplings, amazing. Mm-hmm. And even though their organization, when it comes to sweet sauces and spices, makes my ADHD go into overdrive, Yeah, I don't understand the layout, because they do just put shit everywhere.
Right.
Like, I'll go to the frozen food section, and above the frozen food is candy.
Yes, right at eye level.
Like, what?
It don't make no sense.
What are candies and cookies even doing over here?
I guess to make you impulse buy.
But you could then put them anywhere. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to this.
I guess
shit.
They say when you look up, you'll want to grab it.
But you could do that in the, you can put them, then put them in the produce aisle. Who gives a fuck?
Drew.
It makes no sense. They just put shit wherever.
It's no organized.
What is the fucking numbers on the aisle for? Anything is down any aisle.
Oh, I didn't even know they had numbers on the aisle. I just stopped walking into Trader Joe's because I don't pay them size no attention because the aisles make no sense.
I just shop by memory in Trader Joe's. I'd be like, I remember it was around here I got peanut butter cookies.
Around this area, yes!
And even though their organization when it comes to sweet sauces, their flavor combos are worth it. Looking for something different to add to your sandwiches, they got you. Feeling fancy but lazy, grab some frozen risotto to pair with something else. I'm working my way through their inventory and haven't been disappointed yet. I've only had a couple things that I was like, this was whack. Kim Doc says, I like Whole Foods. There was a Trader Joe's near me that serviced a black and brown community up the way. Well, they decided the people near Potomac and Bethesda needed yet another Trader Joe's, so they moved the store there. I went to shop there a whole 7 miles away, and the attendants were mean and stank. Never sat in front in that Trader Joe's again. The one near Reisterstown, Maryland is better anyway. Skin folk and kid folk all around, salt of the earth. I love the handcrafted soaps in Whole Foods. Sure, I'm getting ripped off, but they're luxurious, and I love their wild-caught salmon. All right. Yeah, I just saw we had a lot of different interesting individual experiences, man. Mm-hmm. I've never really experienced bad service by either one of those companies. Same. At any location. So, you know, hopefully I can keep that streak going. Last episode of the week was 2116 BWCs. Stacey Vincent says, hey Rod and Karen, listening to your show in the past was something I did to reward myself as working to get through the week. But now I find this show is a necessity. I hate that we took 2 days off after you posted this. I'm sorry, Stacey.
Right. Yeah. Sorry to let you down.
I needed a break, you know? I need to listen to you guys to get through the day. By the way, I had a humongous smile on my face when Ray Sonny asked you guys about your love story. I loved it. Stacey. Thanks, Stacey. Mm-hmm. Vinyl Collector says, Rod and Karen, I'm so grateful for your podcast. Rod, I know you mentioned in the previous episode that you are fortunate that your world is mostly black, paraphrasing, but unfortunately my experience is the opposite. My world is mostly white and I am a black woman. What you said at the beginning of the episode about not being able to be your true self at work has been my experience for 30 plus years. And when you were talking about it, I LOL because my job got me an executive coach, and in our first session, when I asked for strategies I could use to improve my perception among executives or to craft a personal brand that shapes me as a leader in their mind for promotion, all she could say was that I just need to be myself, and that if I was authentic that I would be as I would be as suffocating as it feels wearing face masks all day during this pandemic. Yeah, be yourself. Okay, be unemployed. She clearly had no idea that not only had I been doing that my whole career, but that it had been a necessity to get where I was today to even be talking to an executive coach. Right. I see. Yeah, I just don't know, like, everyone's authentic self is different. Mm-hmm. And I just think white people get to be authentic at work in a way that we don't think we ever will. Mm-mm. You can't even say nigga at work.
Nope.
You know, black people say nigga in casual conversation with each other all the goddamn time. You break that shit off in an office meeting, your ass is over.
Yeah, take you straight to HR.
Yeah, and I've been in meetings where white people cuss. So don't even tell me, that's different. It's really fucking not. You know?
I've heard people get smacked. Cuss move the smack out, having a meeting with the door shut and just railing.
I've been in a meeting where my boss was cussing and mad and all this shit, and I just joined him to like oh, we could cuss, so I just thought it'd be funny to cuss too, like, yeah, fuck those people. And he would be like, calm down, man, and put his hand on my shoulder. I'm like, you was just cussing, I learned it from you, like, what? So the shit was just mad different, man. Like, you know, and I know I ain't alone in there. There's got to be other black people with that experience.
Agreed.
Along those lines, I've been struggling with the other issue you mentioned at the beginning about having white friends or coworkers check in during the past 1 to 2 weeks. In many instances, I'm the only black person my white friends and coworkers know. And this week, my phone has been blowing up with texts and heart emojis and check-ins. And frankly, it makes me angry. I know it's more for them than for me, and to relieve some of the guilt that they are feeling right now, or to check off a box that they did something to show they are not one of the races, but it's performative. I say it's performative because this is literally the first time any of them have checked in on me, and I've been pretty vocal on my social media about my feelings after all these unjust murders dating back to Eric Garner. I have a black son, so I have always also been vocal about it with my mom's friends in that context, that I'm afraid for his future because of how society treats black men. So it makes me think that all this time, either one, they knew what was happening, they didn't really care till now, or two, they didn't know or educate themselves about what was happening because they were only focused on their own experience. It's been a little awakening about what these friendships really are, because I'm realizing when they check in, I don't really feel comfortable sharing how I'm feeling, including the info I just shared with you. It has me rethinking my world in the middle of all of this, and not in a resentful or punishing way like you talked about before, Rod. I chuckled at the speed analogy, but more in a mental and emotional health kind of way, before I wish there were people checking in who I could actually share how I'm feeling right now. Yeah,
because it's I've been seeing online how some people, you have black people in all types of spots. I've been seeing people online that are like, I'm just now realizing I'm the black friend. You have some people online go, oh, I was a black friend, but I'm not the black friend no more. You know, so people are a little bit of everywhere on these things. You know, then you have some black people that go, yeah, the white people I have around me, they better understand. Like if you don't understand, I'm just not gonna kick it with you. I don't got time to fill you in and plead for my humanity. You better walk through the front door understanding.
Yeah, and I mean, dog, as black people, it's difficult enough because we have misunderstandings between us.
Correct.
White supremacy is so fucked up that we can't all agree on how to navigate this shit. So even within just the black diaspora, man, you got people mad about all kinds of internal shit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're lighter than me. You have a privilege when it comes to that. Hey, you're straight. You have a privilege when it comes to that. You're a man. You have a privilege when it comes to that. You know, you're from a certain city. You're from a different country, different continent. Like, there's so much shit already within the shit when you're talking with just black people in general. So then you add whiteness to it, and that's just another layer of frustration that can reach you. And white people right now, I was talking about this with Chris, and it's kind of a joke, but I kind of mean it too. White people right now, if they're a good white person, quote unquote, then they confused as fuck.
Right. They don't know what to do because the answer varies per black person. We all did not come to the same conclusion.
There's a lot of fucking, like, conflicting answers mm-hmm. out there. You know, reach out to your black friends. Like, my man Randolph Terrence had said something on Facebook about he white people not reaching out to the black people they know and how that's fucked up. And he's counting it and he notices it. And I've seen other people be like, don't check on me, leave me alone.
Right.
And so,
if it was per person.
Randolph put that out there. And I've been kind of just, I know it's a conscientious choice now. I don't know if it's just a denial thing or what, but I have been very fucking conscientious of just not wanting to get into the explaining this shit to white people
Mm-mm.
lane. I don't want to do it. It's not my job.
Sure. Nope.
I don't actually give a fuck. I don't, and maybe it's because I have so little hope. Like, I don't think my message is going to reach the white people and they gonna change and their heart's gonna grow three sizes that day. If they white and they give a fuck, they'll come around eventually.
Right, they will.
If they don't, who cares? That's their life. You know what I mean? Keep your life away from mine if you really don't give a fuck about my life. I don't want to interact with you. Mm-mm. I don't want to educate you, and I don't want to debate you. So
right,
you know. So like I said, Randolph had that thing he put out, and I want to say uncanny within a couple of days. A white dude I used to work with hit me up and was like, you know, if there's anything my family can and me, we can do for you, blah, blah. And I'm not trying to be shady. Nigga, we're not friends. We worked together for a little bit for a long time ago. I never thought anything necessarily bad about you.
Right.
But I don't feel like you're obligated to reach out to me. You know,
but they feel that.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't even want it.
Mm-mm.
But enough black people have said they do want it.
Right.
And then they told you that your silence is complicitness.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told you if you don't do it, you basically racist. Mm-hmm. So you reaching out to me, a nigga who don't believe any of that. You know, you reaching out to me and I'm like, yeah, I'm not one of those blacks. don't know what to tell you.
I'm not one of them.
Like, if you knew me better, you know you didn't need to do this. So, like, it all defeats the purpose. So, yeah, it just depends on the person, man. So, I'm not into that shit. But, I definitely feel everything you're saying, though, because it is that, you know? Thank you again for your podcast. For years, you guys have been my imaginary friends who I can vent with about this stuff and then turn around and laugh about it. I hope you know what a difference you're making. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
We do know now. I mean, because people like you write in to tell us, you know? Yes. So thank you. That might be the poll of the day. Has a white person apologized, like reached out to you?
Yeah, that should be the poll.
Checked on you.
I'm
going
to say, jot that down.
Don't check on me. Write a check.
I'll forget.
That's what I say. Not really. I don't want your check either. I don't want your white guilt money or none of this shit. There's a lot of black people who do. Yeah. But if you're listening to me, I'm not that person. I don't want that shit. We have, you know, people putting us in lists now. Check out these black podcasts. And I'm going to uplift black creators this week. That's well-intended, and that's cool.
It is.
But much like my girl Vinyl Collector just said, I can't help it, but it makes me a little bit angry. Because if you haven't lifted my shit up the other 365 days a year that I am black, and the other 10 years that we've been doing this show, and it's only in the midst of a black crisis that you have the nerve to be like, hey, check this out. This is some black people, y'all. Get the fuck out of my face. Put a reminder in your fucking phone right now and do the same thing every month for the rest of the month. You know what I'm saying? Don't just, I mean, if black people getting killed on camera is what gets us promotion, then why aren't we getting promoted every day? Because they doing it every day. So I don't want this white guilt attention, man. It's not my thing. And I know there are some blacks that get off on it. Nothing makes their genitals get stiffer than like a white person being guilty and conflicted and giving them a check. That's not my thing. I don't want it. Because I also don't want to have to handle your guilt or make you feel good about something, or 2 weeks later when you're feeling less guilty and now you're mad at my podcast because I keep talking about, yeah, it's fucked up, white supremacy is fucked up, wow, y'all still thinking about that, bitch, we live under it every day.
Come on,
it's fitting to be this forever. Like, for some of us, it's not
like
a phase,
a goddamn broken record.
This is not us complaining our way into a job. For some of us, it's just us living our lives, and this is just a big part of our lives. So anyway, I'm not a huge fan of that shit anyway. But good for the whites who are trying. I don't have I don't have the right answers for you or whatever. It's gonna be a long process. Good luck. The poll is, which one? Which one? Burn it all down. Burn it all down except for mine. Just burn your own shit, or don't burn anything, Karen.
That one's hard because you don't have I understand if you burn. I'm of the I understand if you burn.
Nope. You know, go ahead and answer the question, please. Do you need me to repeat the answers?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll repeat the answers for you. Burn it all down. Burn it all down except for mine. Don't burn anything, or just burn your own shit.
I guess burn it all down except for mine.
Okay.
Don't burn my shit down. But it's one of them things where I understand.
If they burned your own shit, you would understand. If they burned.
No. I understand the burning of shit down. Well, I just don't want you to burn my shit.
But that's the poll. The poll in itself, you know, has a built-in understanding. Like, it doesn't say you don't understand why, or you do understand. It doesn't matter. It's just which of these which ones do you go into? So you say burn it all down except for mine. 19% of the audience agrees with you. Burn it all down except for my shit. Which, if, you know, I was surprised that wasn't higher. You know, but I think our audience is a little more realistic than Black Twitter. But okay.
Yes.
Plus that one sounds the least flattering. You don't get to feel like a revolutionary when you're like, burn they shit down? that you don't feel so righteous, do you?
Nope. That's why I was like, I understand. I don't want you burning my shit down.
32% said burn it all down. 39% said don't burn anything. And 11% said just burn your own shit. Our audience is pretty woke, and 39% said don't burn anything, which is the highest qualifier, like the highest one. Burn it all down came in second with 32%. Burn it all down except mine, 19%, and then just burn your own shit, 11%. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, guys, I fit into the burn it all down category. I said it on my Facebook Live, and I mean it, guys. Burn all of that shit down, okay? Riot, loot, steal.
We don't own most of that shit. No kill more. We people. Don't own the building. We don't own the property.
I'm not done, Karen. Please don't interrupt. Kill people if you need to.
No.
I don't care if it's children. Run up in their house.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Kill people, kids. Mm-mm. We are Mm-mm. upset. We are Mm-mm. black people, and everything we feel right now is Nope. correct and right. Mm-mm. We don't need to worry about Nope. the law.
The views of the black guy on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast does not include me.
Burn it all to the ground, okay? Find some, I don't give a fuck if it's innocent white people. Find Mm-hmm. them. Go Nat Turner on everything.
Y'all gonna be going to jail. Don't you listen to him.
I don't give a fuck, okay?
I do.
I'm the realest nigga in the world. In my house, I'm in my crib right now. Mm-mm. Burn the shit down, okay? I say the air conditioned privacy of my gated community. Burn these motherfuckers to ashes, okay? Every last one of them.
I was about to say, though, you know, the way you talking,
Karen, listen,
posting that on Twitter,
Karen, you don't understand, okay?
I guess I don't. You don't. I'm understand. Not woke enough.
You not only are you not woke enough, but this is the only thing you are allowed to say on Twitter right now, Karen.
Come on.
You can't be out here saying that reasonable, nuance. That's when they can't be.
Twitter is like, Attica.
You saw what happened to Killer Mike? He was
being reasonable.
And then he got roasted for it and got called a coon. So you gonna get us called coons because you out here trying to act like what I'm saying is bad. No, burn it all down.
I don't care. Where is my tap dance shoes? Do 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 do.
Wow, that's sad to hear.
Honestly. Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at?
You playing my jam, cause no.
Yeah.
I'll just be one then.
Well, not me. I believe Black Lives Matter, and I absolutely disagree with Karen. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we'll just have to agree to disagree.
As far as I'm concerned, burn it all down. Don't, you know, so y'all know I'm the wokest person in the room. Anytime I walk into a room. Mm-hmm. I start burning shit. That's how I'll get down, okay? I'm burning incense right now. Guess what else, y'all? Burning the candle right here live. Y'all see it? I burn it down up in here, okay? I'm burning all the wild hyacinth fresh floral fragrances up in my crib because I'm such a revolutionary, okay?
I see.
Now get out there and burn it all, okay? Mm-hmm. Set the police on fire. We don't care. No,
I do care.
We here at the Blackout Tips do not want to be canceled. Continue to give to this show because we are the most revolutionary. This is how people lose.
Them people ain't giving us no
Killer life. Mike ain't gonna save no, ain't gonna get none of his money back. No one getting Ronda Jules 5 because he sold out and said burn some of it down, but don't burn your shit down. And they said no. The right answer was burn it all. So we will be burning it all up in here. Mm-mm. Static says, if I'm being honest, I find myself oscillating between all these, sometimes all at once. Then I just get tired. Shady Dame says, Usher voice, let it burn. See, Shady Dame on it, okay? If she walked outside and they were burning her car and her house down, she would be like, I don't care. Burn it all. Hand me a torch. I will burn my own shit with you. And that's how I get down because I'm real like that. My grandpa marched GA in the 50s. My dad marched at Oakland in the 70s. I marched in Berkeley during Rodney King in the 90s. Now we had dubious honor of taking our kids to march for the same fucking shit. This literal lifetime of begging this shithole country for the absolute bare minimum. Begging them to give us simple equality. At this point, we brought this country into the world and with our unending labor so we can take this motherfucker out. I wish that I could say that I were a better person than that, but there it is. If you tie a dog up in the backyard, kick it every few days, and don't have your feelings hurt when he bites your leg off, don't worry, guys are planning on bringing this shit up in therapy on Monday, so I'll be all right. I was with you on everything you said until that last sentence. So you going to therapy?
Yes, go to therapy if that's what you need, baby.
You gonna go to therapy and get this out? No, if you want to get your feelings out, burn your shit down. Mm-mm. Start with your house. Burn that motherfucker down, and anybody living next to you.
Therapist appointment, baby.
We burning shit up in here, okay? Mm-hmm. Black power. Black people forever. All right?
Keep your appointment, baby. Don't show up 20 minutes early.
Don't listen to this coon, okay? She not down with it like we are, okay, guys?
Black rage! I'm killing you white folks that lay my motherfucking eyes on!
That's the only answer. Black rage. I'm with you. Burn it. Doug B says, I would have seen this poll two days ago, I would have said burn nothing. But after some fools unconnected to the area's peaceful march tried to loot the stores on the corner, the stupidness of work and 2-hour phone call with insurance lying about raising my prescription copay, I voted to burn it all. See, that's what I think. I think burn it all is just a feeling.
Yeah. I don't even think people mean it. I know, cause I don't.
Cause niggas be in their house. Y'all do know y'all own matches.
Come on. Like, you can burn shit down at any time you want. In fact, we got the fancy lighters.
Listen, I saw soul food. Leave a motherfucking towel on the oven. Burn that shit down, okay? Layla says, I'm at the point where I don't even care no more what happens to here. Just like Anansi said on American Gods, let the motherfuckers burn. My shit, they shit, everybody shit. I had a State Farm just to come out and survey what's left and cut me a check. So y'all ain't burning State Farm? No. If we're burning everything, we burn the State Farm too. Ain't gonna be no checks in the new.
Can't burn State Farm down.
In the new world of ashes, it won't be no checks. No banks either. We burning them bitches too. Oh, y'all not real. I'm the only real person in the world.
I know I'm not real like that.
I see. Yeah, I see. Wow. This gonna be the thing that gets us divorced.
Come on, get my tap dancing shoes.
I saw you, Shane, I'm sorry you and Leah wrote in and just, I'm sorry. Okay? You wasted your money.
Karen's not
a rider.
Nope.
If anything good could come out of me taking an L, I'm for it for the humanity of black people. Fuck this country and fuck cops. # defund the police. Tish says, I feel like as long as they're talking businesses and not homes, I kind of has to be all or nothing. First of all, you qualified your own shit. Oh, we just talking businesses and not homes. Well, that's the thing. That's not all then. Mm-mm. So how you gonna try to write a qualifier? So you have to go back and change your vote in the poll because you didn't even believe what you said. Yeah,
don't burn nobody's shit down.
Right, we talking businesses but not homes. No, we talking businesses, homes, we talking preschools, we talking everything, the playground, we burning it all of it. The people, the cops, everybody, the people in the jails, everyone getting burnt up. Oh man, I swear to God, the work I do for you Negroes. If you have a business, you shouldn't be okay if people across town lose theirs, but ready to switch sides when folks get to you. You should have insurance just like they do. And if they talking about letting it all burn, then be ready to have it hit you. Maybe the lesson there hasn't been a lasting cultural shift in regards to black lives. It's just a matter of the fires being put out too early. Showing restraint in an effort to prove we're not what we say we are. What you say we are may have hurt us. Maybe we just needed to show them that we can do much worse, so the next time we're polite enough to ask for something, they'll be willing to take us seriously to keep it from getting so bad again before we just take it. I mean the only thing I would say in that analogy is I don't know that burning it all down is us taking anything. I don't think you burn it all down and then like the fucking freedom comes out of the closet and everybody's free.
Yeah, you burn it all down and shit we don't own.
Yeah, so all right, let's get to the last comment. Kim Doc, Rod and Karen, the people at Gucci and Breitling and Chanel and Louis Vuitton ain't did nothing to y'all whispers except be racist. Yeah, I don't even know who that, I don't watch Love and Hip Hop anymore, so I didn't even know who that woman was that was crying about them stores. I never laughed as hard as I did at Shekinah. That's who it is. Shekinah and Trina. This shit struck a nerve with them that I and people in my mindset cannot relate to. I don't really care either way, but it leaves a bad taste in the air with regard to Trina. She's beloved to the point where if anyone speaks a negative whisper is spoken in her direction from anyone, there's a hive that dives off the top rope on people. Maybe that got to her head, who knows? That goodwill is definitely dry as hell now, though. All she had to do was read the room. Yeah, that's bad when Trick Daddy is the voice of reason.
Come on. Trick Daddy was like, hey.
Trick's like, Trick love the kids. What are you doing?
Come on. Yeah, black people.
Right, so. Anyway, yeah, if I'm being real, man, I feel kind of like, what do you call it? Laissez-faire? Is that hands off? Is that what French for hands off? I wouldn't get out there and burn shit. I don't really see the point. As far as like what it's gonna do, I think people need to be a little less judgmental of the black people who are like, there are consequences to us burning this shit. I think we need to stop being so in a rush to dismiss them, because, you know, I was reading the article where this woman was a pharmacist and they burned down the CVS, and she was like, I understand the rage and I identify with it, and this isn't even about my job as a pharmacist, but there are people that need the drugs and the prescriptions that were in the pharmacy, and now they won't be able to get them, and I don't know what I do when I, you know, if I have someone on 3, 4, 5 medications or something, mm-hmm. and I'm scrambling for these medications, you know, mm-hmm. What am I, fuck you, burn it all, I get this, you're part of the consequence of this shit, like, it, you know, it is somewhat of a, it's a nuanced discussion, and that's not a place to have it online. No, you have to basically not. Say, and that's what my joke is, really. I said it on my Facebook Live or whatever. It's like, you have to say burn it all, like, to the point of almost being to the point of like, the more kind of callous you sound, the better, the more revolutionary pats on the back you get for saying it,
right?
So if you say burn it all, kill the kids, burn the fucking school down, burn the playground, burned, like, people will support that right now in this moment, because you sound like you woke, like, come on. That's the wokest thing you can say. But, you know, I think it spoke volumes that when Killer Mike had an actual platform to address everyone, that what he was responsible for saying and what was best for his community are different than what he said when he logged back on Twitter the next day. Like, he literally,
there's no accountability
there. He logged out back on Twitter and said burn it all, and people said, well, nigga, make up your mind. It's like, Oh, that was him being that. So Twitter is fake.
Come on.
You know?
For a lot of people, yes.
Yeah, it's easy to say that shit. And even people like that don't want people to be upset with the looters and the rioters and shit. Even those people aren't really actively saying, you know, I'm going to go out here and burn some shit too. Cause mm-hmm. they know deep down on a fundamental level, there's some irresponsibility to that. And there mm-hmm. is some parts of the picture that are being painted over in order for us to like throw our black power fist in the air. But the truth of the matter is, you know, if my grandmama is on chloroquine for her lupus and you niggas burn down the CVS,
right,
I'm allowed to be sad and hurt, as well as sad and hurt about the black death in the street that got us mad. Like,
yes,
and all of these feelings are valid feelings from different levels and different places in blackness. And it's not a class thing. Mm-mm. It's not, you know, it's not about being rich. It's just that this white supremacy is such a fucked up situation. We're all going to feel complicated feelings around it.
Agreed.
You know, so it just depends, man. But yeah, I ain't, like I said, I'm more mad about white supremacy and the systemic oppression of people than I am about people fucking up a store, which is why you ain't never caught me saying not a bad thing about people fucking up a store, unless it was white people coming into our neighborhoods and fucking up shit. Other than that, I don't care.
Agreed.
You know? Anyway, we had emails. I don't think we got any voicemails, from Skype. I checked it earlier this morning. I can check again real quick,
okay,
to make Karen feel better.
Yes, thank you,
and thank God I did, because Emil left a voicemail.
Yay,
you welcome, Karen. Okay, you did it.
Hey guys, Emil here. Hopefully this voicemail gets in before the show. But I was listening to the show this week, and you guys mentioned that you felt lucky. Well, Rod mentioned that he felt lucky that he was existing in a black environment for most of his life. And I realized that was my life for about 28 years until I moved to Canada. And I remember my first engineering job, I tried to press a point in a meeting. And my boss at the time said I didn't have to be so aggressive. Man, when I tell you, I was puzzled. I felt like I was thrown into whiteness grad school without meeting any of the whiteness prerequisites. Anyway, 20 years later, with everything going on, I'm just glad all the social distancing rules prevent people from gathering in a lunchroom at work, because believe me, I don't want to have these weighty conversations with these motherfuckers at work. Believe me. Anyway, love the show as always. I love that week when you had all those guests on, especially Ray Sani and Wasati, Nick and Reggie. As always, keep up the show. Yeah. Bye.
Thanks, Emil.
Thank you, baby.
I feel like more of his Jamaican accent was coming out this week. I feel like as the pandemic goes longer and longer, he gets more and more Jamaican, which I don't know if that's a thing, but I can tell if you go back and listen to the first email voicemails he left, it was like, hi, this is Emil and I'm from Canada. And I was like, man, I'm a Jamaican gentleman.
But slowly, with him not having to go to work and being at home, they gonna go on the Zoom and they gonna be like, what? Say that again? Can't understand you.
It's gonna get so bad that he gonna call in and it's not just gonna be a normal Jamaican accent, it's gonna be season two of Luke Cage Jamaican.
Oh no!
The Mafia burn. I'm gonna be like, mm-mm. I don't know what has happened.
No, sir. No.
Mariah Stokes gone blind. I'm gonna be like, I don't know what any of this means anymore.
I don't want any of that.
But nah, man, I feel you too, because I definitely had been called aggressive more than once when I worked in white corporate America. Like I said, had a boss who used to cuss in the fucking meetings, call people all kinds of names and shit. And not to their face, but like, you know, we'd be talking and he's like, that's so stupid, son of a bitch would do that. And I'd be like, and I join in barely, just tipping my foot in the water. And he would be like, no, hold on, you don't have to be so upset. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. And I noticed it after a couple times. I just stopped even talking to him about it. I was just like, well, I guess he cusses and I don't. You know, and the other white people in the meeting could cuss or whatever, no problem. But me specifically, I couldn't cuss.
Nope.
And so then I had that happen. I had another time I got written up for an email that I literally did not mean sarcastically or in a dick way at all. And even as I explained it to the fucking short 5'2" boss that I had at the time, hey, this is not, I didn't mean this in a negative way. If you just like trust me as an employee, you'd at least have my back, or go, well, you say you didn't mean it that way. I got written up anyway. Turned out it was on my fucking permanent record. Like years later, when I was left from that job, my current manager, who had been laid off at the same time, he was apologizing to me because he was like, yeah, I really let this job turn me into a dick. I was kind of like treating things too seriously. I was asking, like, you know, kind of getting on you for little shit that really wasn't that important. And I was like, you know what, dog, I forgive you. You know, he apologized, and I try not to hold on to that kind of shit. And I said, you know, you just got caught up in the corporate culture thinking that this shit mattered. This shit don't matter. It's not important. And he was like, yeah, and Brian left this thing on your record for, I was like, that shit was still in there? That shit happened like 15 years ago. So yeah, I definitely understand. Black people, we don't get to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, people talk about the angry black woman stereotype and they're very right about it, but I guess, you know, probably in my circles, you know, I have so many black women around me, I very rarely talk about the experience of a black man specifically, because I know that to some people that's a trigger of like, I'm trying to get into some type of oppression Olympics, so I'm going to deny the oppression of black women. But being a black man comes with certain oppressions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the angry black man is a stereotype as fucking well.
Yes, it is.
You know, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to express rage and anger. Why do you think fucking Jackie, why can't I remember his last name? The biggest baseball player of all time. Jackie Robinson. Why do you think Jackie Robinson was the one they picked? Because they knew he wouldn't punch a nigga out.
Right.
Not in front of everybody. Why do you think Barack Obama was the first black president?
Come on.
Because they know he doesn't get moved to anger. And his anger is very, like, it's anger, but it's very safe anger. And he knows he can't express anything more than that. That's why they still afraid and mad at Michelle Obama, because she ain't as safe.
Oh, no. No, she unpredictable.
Yeah, so I definitely can relate to that, man. It's like, it's a lot, bro. So and I do feel privileged to work with how I work, what I do, to do it with who I do it with, and to be able to pick and choose who we work with. Right. That may not always be true. I don't know. I don't feel like our show is one of those shows that will be quote unquote saved by white dollars. I no matter how big or small we ever get,
right,
I feel like white people for the most part will leave us to our own devices because of the shit we talk about and how we talk.
Correct.
But I think it's like I love that right now. I love that when we had planned our live event, we picked our planner and we could specifically say we want a black woman. When we were got our photographer, hey, we want a black woman photographer from the area.
We specifically said those things.
Yeah, but I like being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because I'm also like, because I support black women, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm just like the fucking wokest. That's not what I'm saying. I like doing it because it's less of a headache for me.
Right.
I like, cool. They'll be professional. They'll be somebody we can vibe with.
The lighting will be right.
Yeah, all that shit. Like, it's just little shit like that. Like, it's not, you know, I don't have to be like Freddie Gray got killed and I better not bring it up around Brian. Like, I don't have to feel that way. So it's a privilege. It really is a privilege, at least from the way I view life. There might be other black people that would view this and be like, it's not a privilege. You got to deal with, you only got as much as black people can give you, but I'll fucking take it. I love it. You know what I mean? I'm the same person that doesn't want Mark Cuban's millions of dollars so Tiwa Queen and Jay can put me in the pit. So I'm a complicated human being.
Trying to stay out, whatever it takes to stay out the pit.
Yeah, basically. That's why I love everything bagels now.
Love them.
Barbara writes in, we got some emails, theblackouttips@gmail.com. 2116. Thank Rod and Karen for another great episode. You hit so many salient and relevant points in your discussions. You two are podcasting gold. On being black in typically white corporate systems, I hit 40 a few years ago and decided to myself, fuck it, I'm actually going to keep moving till I got to a spot where my work, which history proves I do well, and my experience are matched with a decent level of respect and acknowledgement. I got sick and tired of the cognitive dissonance of seeing how well my work was being received but getting radio silence when it came to being acknowledged. Yeah, they good for that. Man, there's been so many times I went into a performance review thinking I was doing bad because no one had said shit to me about the good work I was doing all year long, and then when I'm in there thinking I gotta defend myself just to keep a job, I'm, you know, and I'm putting my list together. I got better at this as time went on. I started putting my list together before the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, nah, I've been killing this shit. So when I came in there, anything negative they had to say, I was ready to be like, hold up, player, what about this? But what happened eventually was that they weren't even saying negative shit. It was all in my head. You know what I mean? I thought they were going to say something bad about me because that's just how my brain was working. But it was also because they weren't really truly positively reinforcing me so that I had ammunition to walk in there feeling confident.
Correct.
2.5 years of 3 job changes later, I'm happier. Still have to deal with the usual bullshit, but I'm better at speaking up for myself and not tolerating having my work appropriated and misattributed. Mm-hmm. I love how you just said that it wasn't that the circumstances necessarily changed, but you changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes all the way back to what I was saying about those NFL players. We give them so much shit, but we all have a progress we have to get to before we feel firm enough to even stand up in a meeting and be like, hey, for my performance appraisal, this is wrong. I want more. I know my newfound philosophy will not settle, to not settle has a ceiling to it, but I'm willing to keep going till I hit it. And when I think I've hit it, I'm still going to push because I guarantee there's still room between the 10% and the 90% you talked about. Anyway, thank you. You share some great insights as always. Much love and appreciated, B. Thank you, B.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael says, thanks for the reading rainbow on this episode. I've been working in what I thought was a dream job for the last 3 years, and it's been a re-education to say the least. Let me. Oh, I didn't even think all this is coming from the Reading Rainbow segment we did. Okay, because I was like, I don't even remember talking about jobs that much this week. But yeah, it was that Reading Rainbow we started about the woman applying for the job. And let me, you don't like the Reading Rainbow segment. You don't like the Reading Rainbow segment? That's my nigga, we be, that's the jewels, that's the gems right there. You skipping past the good shit. You stupid. The job is on acres, and a benefit is being able to get out and when it's warm or play video games or pinball in the break room. I didn't believe that until I saw it, lol. But Karen was right. It's different rules in corporate America ain't for us. I get the, hey, I stopped by and you were not at your desk. Or if I wanted to get away from your my desk to work on a paper, it was, hey, are you in the building? The struggle is not to go off when my name is mentioned for doing what everyone else does on the daily. Are you going to say something?
I say yes, yes. And it's very frustrating. That's one benefit about, not that I had this at my old job, but one benefit about working at home. And some companies it's not actually companies, some cultures that have been very controlling, this drives them nuts because now they can't control you, they can't monitor you, they can't watch you every second, and I guarantee you productivity and all that shit done spiked through the roof, but they will never contributed that to you not fucking controlling and pressuring and looking over the corner and constantly following people. They'll never contribute that you literally taking the pressure off of people. And so now they can take their break, go to the bathroom, eat their lunch. They can do these things without feeling watched every minute, every second, every hour of the day.
Right. And the thing is, like, people go, white people especially, just get a different job. And I'm like, it's not this. I feel you. And I'm not saying that it isn't this job, but also, what do you do when it's every job?
Right.
What do you do when you're at a job where they do let white people do the things that you're saying I should be allowed to do, but they don't let me do them? So now what are we talking? It's like, oh, they watch you like a hawk. No, they watch me like a hawk. They don't really watch you like a hawk. Right. They don't watch us like a hawk. For some reason, it's always me that's getting a little note about, hey, you were 3 minutes late. And this other motherfucker can come in from fishing and be like, I fell asleep outside by the pond, and that's why I came in so late this weekend for the overtime. And they laugh in the meeting as he tells everyone that in the meeting, in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get pulled to the side and reprimanded and written up. Mm-hmm. But my black ass was 5 minutes late because I stopped to get everybody donuts, and we had to have a conversation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, real story, not made up. It's a pain in my ass, to try to be twice as good when everyone around you makes twice the mistakes and gets to laugh it off. Anyway, thanks for validating how I'm sure many of us in corporate America feel. Absolutely. Celeste says, hi Rod and Karen, I had to write in to thank you all. I used to be a subscriber, but alas, the IRS came a knocking, so I had to discontinue my monthly, but I'm going to donate when I can. I really love the Reading Rainbow segment and love when you were live and at the library. The library has always been one of my safe places. I always wish more took advantage of it, of all it has to offer. Even now, our library has so much available digitally that even though the building is closed, you can still have access to so much for free. I also want to say I really appreciate you both of your very smart, measured, and thoughtful takes on what is going on. Number one, COVID-19. I work in healthcare and also had friends who had folks in China in January when it was going down, and I was running around screaming like the town crier that it was about to pop off here. I also tried to tell all my peeps to prepare. One group of friends who include someone who lived through an escape war in Africa, and another whose family was impacted by Hurricane Maria, and another whose family is from Jamaica, you not only didn't have to tell us twice, we were prepping in Feb. Bias in healthcare is real. I have a few books at the end of this for your Reading Rainbow segment you may want to check out that speak on this. One of the reasons I work so hard to advocate and push for my patients is because honestly, you never know when you will be on the other end at some point needing someone to do that for you.
Come on.
Number two, the protests. The somewhat is mixed up with COVID-19 too. I am so worried in relationship to this virus. We are witnessing national super spreader events. Now I will say healthcare provider fatigue with this thing is real, and the frustration when they saw people at the beach and the bars is building. But now I think it will unfortunately hit ahead in the next 5 to 21 days as the hospital is full and overflowing again.
Mm-hmm.
Looking like Italy. People were adjusting to the new normal, and now it's all tense waiting for the other shoe to drop, when it absolutely will, which it absolutely will. Yeah, I think so too. I think that was one of the things that got to me Tuesday or Wednesday, is I feel a measure of sadness, not just about George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and Breonna Taylor and all these people being killed by the police. I also feel sad because racism is so fucked up that even in a pandemic, we are out here knowing that this disease is out here, and many people may die because they needed to protest. Many people right. may die because they had to vote. Many, you know, these are the demands of what is required to help try to fix this country. And Black people being the true patriots that they really are, the ones who actually believe not in America as it is, but in America that has never existed, are the ones that are fucking pushing this place. You know, so yeah, it makes me sad when I see, you know, even my friends and shit out there protesting, and they got their mask down around their neck, and they're, you know, talking into their Facebook Live and shit, and they standing not 6 feet away from somebody else. And I'm like, you know, I hope this thing doesn't come back and hit everybody. And especially since the white people had their protest first, I hope the hospitals aren't full of fucking country redneck ass white people that actually didn't want a social distance and said fuck the country and fuck for I need a haircut. And then they got the hospital bed, and then a week later, 2 weeks later, Black people start needing hospital beds and ain't no beds, you know. I think that's a nightmare scenario, and I just let y'all inside my head for a little bit, but that's the kind of shit I've been thinking about, and it's depressing as fuck, you know.
Agreed. And I, you know, and for me, it's almost like for the people out there that are protesting and marching, I was like, oh, it's like a two-edged sword. You got the real live bullets from the police and beating you with batons, and then you have the COVID, which is an unseen thing. So it's like a two-edged sword when it comes to your life.
Yeah. This leads me to the protests. As a child of protesters who were involved in the civil rights movement, as someone who protested apartheid for the divestment and against community violence, something seems so odd. It seems in a weird way that people are mixing up the issue of holding these police officers accountable into everything that has happened. The pandemic, losses of job, racism, TM, being inside. And I honestly feel like the whites, TM, were co-opting as well. They have been waiting for us to do the heavy lifting, when surely an incident like this happened, and now using it as human shield so they can justify their relative inaction all the way back to electing this fool and not mass mobilization since he has been in office. That's why those Bernie bros and Rose Twitter and woke blacks are full of shit. Still ain't out except to cause trouble. Yeah, it's a lot of people that they telling us all this leadership shit from the safety of their homes and on Twitter, you know.
Yes, sir.
This is, we'll see, you know, we gonna be out in the streets, nigga. You ain't burning nothing. You are holding a fucking Zoom event tonight. You, like, where's Susan Sarandon? You know what I mean? Like, I, it's just crazy. It's crazy. But it makes us feel good to feel revolutionary online.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the coordinates, white supremacist aspect of this cannot be denied. They literally have been planning this like Clan Qaeda, and like Al Qaeda, but Clan Qaeda. And because
that's hilarious.
And because they are all up in the halls of power, nobody is stopping them, which brings me to my appreciation of both of you and your stance on President Obama and Michelle Obama. These Negroes continue to lose their mind when talking about what he should have done / didn't do against all of this. Like, how can you look at the last 4 years, how many people internally were never on his side that were 45 supporters, white supremacists, and at the very least biased, and come to the conclusion that yes, it's all his fault? Man, I saw somebody who said, not only not to guilt people into voting in 2016, in addition to that, they also was like, these black podcasts need to stop talking about voting, because basically, like, we don't know shit, you know. And then they was like, and oh, Obama speaking, fuck what he got to say, it's his fault for letting Trump get in office. And I'm like, literally, you can't tell people, don't worry about voting if it makes you feel bad. If it doesn't make you feel great, then fuck it. Literally leading us to this motherfucker winning, and then be like, I can't believe the lawful, law-abiding president abided the law, and this motherfucker, and just let this motherfucker be president as if there's ever been a chance that it wasn't gonna happen that way. The only time we have kept a person who won the general election from being president is when we made sure they didn't win the general election. Cause it's never happened before. You win the general election, you get to be president. That's how it's always been. That's it. You can't get mad at this nigga for doing what the fuck always happens. Be mad at your fellow fucking citizens who thought it was a game. The same is the challenge with the abolish the police and prison abolition narrative. When you read from the book about black policing as well as the Ida B. Wells and how some of these strategies have been tried before and had some failure and some success, it's just so much more nuanced and complex than the media, social media, most people want to discuss. Yeah, I saw somebody that was like, I'm a prison abolitionist. I honestly was looking at this account. I don't even remember the name. But it had one of those names where it felt like it was a parody. God, I wish I knew the Cocoa. Like
parody.
It was like Cocoa Butter Feminist or Femme or something. It was just something like, you know, like Shea Butter Womanist or something. Like something where you would be like, is this like someone from
a real person?
Is this 4chan messing with us? It's got like a cartoon avatar and shit. You're like, is this a real person or not? Like, I don't know.
Like, it's trying to use the slang. It don't make sense.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope it's a real, I don't know if it's a real person, but who cares? Right. You know, I don't follow them that follow me, but I saw someone had like retweeted them or something and they were like, you know, like they're heavy on prison abolition, which is a very theoretical thing on Twitter, you know. And this is, you know, same thing with even defund the police or abolish the police. It's a theoretical thing. That's fine. I think a lot of times these theories would make for a better world than the one we have, so I'm not against the theories, but they are theories, and that means that they're not practical because they haven't had to deal with practicality, they haven't had to deal with realism, right? So I can say anything in the world I've made up, in my world where I made up, everyone does recidivist justice, and we community organizations take over, there's no such thing as prison, and we have people do restorative justice and everyone agrees to it and everyone's fine, and all the criminals are like, I'm not really a criminal, I'm just a person that didn't understand, and now I understand, and there's no crime. When there is a crime, the person who's a victim of the crime also agrees that, hey, I don't want to see this person go to jail, I just want them to feel better, even though they killed my cousin or they killed my wife or they, even though they sexually assaulted me, this is the perfect world where I don't feel vengeance at all. The same people talking about they so petty, right? But anyway, in this world where this shit happens, you know, you have these theoretical situations dealing with real situations at the same time. So this person was saying, don't say that y'all want to see these cops charged, because that just lends legitimacy to the prison industrial complex. So let me get this right. This motherfucker killed George Floyd in front of our faces. They killed Breonna Taylor while she was asleep. Justice is they get fired? They get fired, but we also defund the police department. But the motherfuckers that just killed there's nothing to be done about that? That's the new world?
I think when people speak, they don't speak from a logical position. Like, do you think it doesn't make sense?
Do you think the majority of anybody is on board with that?
Mm-mm.
And that looks like the old world to me anyway, where they get away with killing us and nothing happens. Oh, they lost a job. We're already at loss of job. All them motherfuckers end up losing a job because the problem got to go away so the system can continue to exist. So,
right.
Who's on board with this? And why is that so popular online, but in real fucking life, when you stand in front of a room, I don't give a fuck if it's 100% black people in that room, and you tell them part of this deal is the people that kill us that are cops, we not doing nothing, you mm-hmm. not getting everyone to agree to that shit.
They're gonna be like, nope, I'm not trying to hear that.
Yeah, you're not getting people to agree to that shit, dog. It's not, you know, and I'm not ever gonna feel bad about being realistic about that. And I don't feel bad about saying Michelle Obama and Barack Obama are black fucking royalty and people love them. Like, I'm not gonna get fucking gaslit by Twitter in the
I'm crazy.
Yeah, and the saying some shit that's not true. I'm not gonna do it.
Because when I turn this off and talk to people offline, black people offline, they're like, yes, I love Michelle Obama, and they would say that statement is dumb. Lock them up.
Yeah, so now I'm not falling for that bullshit. Yes, I'm gonna tell you to vote, and I think you should vote, and I think you stupid if you don't vote. Yes, I do. All those things are true. And if you gonna stand up in your I don't give a fuckness, then I'm gonna stand up in my I don't give a fuckness and judge you, and you just deal with the judgment. You'll be okay. Remember, that's your whole thing. You making a stand. Well, everybody got to stand with you. Stand by yourself and let me judge. The other part of it is, I'm not joining in on the hate train on the Obamas online, because that's some online shit.
Yes, it is.
It's not real. You know, like,
that's why a lot of them always shocked and surprised when everybody goes against everything that they've told you is true online.
Right. Like, I'm good, man. Anyway, thanks for all that y'all do. And the following are some additional books, in case you didn't know why she left some books. Which is funny, because I already have some of these books, I just haven't gotten to reading them. Guys, my reading is a struggle right now. I can read a comic book, but a fucking book, this pandemic has robbed me of my ability.
Just so much going on, right,
to read a fucking book. But I'm struggling through it. I'm still reading The Wedding Party, I believe is the name of it. I'm still reading that book. It's just slow as fuck now. I read like a paragraph or a page and I'm just like, all right, I have to do something else. I'm trying.
And that's fine. That's fine. Cause that's more than nothing. So, you know, for some people, they naturally read like that anyway. They don't sit down and read for extensive periods of time.
Yeah. The books are that she put in here, White Rage, The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divide, Carol Anderson. I have it. She also was just interviewed on Jonathan Capehart's podcast. If you guys want to hear a great episode, that was amazing.
Okay.
Jonathan Capehart cried at the end.
That Cape Up?
Yeah, Cape Up.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast. Number two, One Person, No Vote, How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy, Carol Anderson. I also have that book. Shout out to JL Calvin, put me onto that. Three, Fatal Invention, How Science, Politics, and Big Business Recreate Race in the 21st Century, Dorothy Roberts. I don't have that one. And Dying of Whiteness, The Politics of Racial Resentment is Killing America's Heartland, Jonathan Metzi. Once again, heard him on a podcast. Cannot remember if I own that book or not in my Kindle, but I mean, sound like something up my alley. Anyway, I'll copy and paste and put these in the chat room for people if they want to see these books themselves. But yeah, this is a great list. Like I said, I haven't read all of these, any of these actually. I haven't read any of these yet, but I own some of these because I'm into it. You know, that's my jam. Cameron, you gonna say something?
Mm-mm, okay. Go ahead. Oh, I know what I was gonna ask you. What was you said it was Cape Up, and what was her name?
Her name is Carol Anderson. The episode name was something like, it was a fire title. I remember, because that was the thing that made me want to listen to it. I was like, yo, this, like, I know they talked about it.
The title is
The Author of White Fragility Doesn't Think Most White People Care About Racial Injustice. So that's what it was. Yeah, Robin DiAngelo, White Fragility. So not White Rage, which I own out as well, but White Fragility is the one. All right, let's see. Back to this. Dizzy Lizzy says, just heard about Ralph Northam agreeing to remove Robert E. Lee statue from Richmond, and I can't wait for y'all to cover this. And to Ralph, not only is he invited, I will make a plate for him. Dizzy Lizzy gal, I told y'all, man.
And he did it in the cover of night, so they couldn't fucking come up there and protest. They woke up the next morning, went out there, and the shit was gone.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be welcoming him to the cookout again, which he is already at and attending. Let's see, Bat in fact, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Leffa, it just says a fantastic remix. Oh, it's the DJ Sway remix to About to Lose Your Job. I don't know if y'all seen this original video. I can show you guys in the chat, but It was a black woman being arrested by a police officer, and she starts dancing, talking about you about to lose your job. Do they have the original on here? I guess you got to hear the original first. Yeah, hold on. You about to lose your job. So the, let's see, original remix, you're about to lose your job. It's a, see, I don't know which of these is
the real one.
Okay, yeah. You about to lose your job became an internet anthem against police brutality. Yeah, the name of the woman in the video remains unknown. She has created an Instagram account under the username Get This Dance. Yeah, she was like, Get This Dance. So this is, I think, the video. I don't think it's,
when I don't want to be detained for no goddamn reason. Yeah, that's how the fuck I act. Naturally. Ask anybody who know me.
What you at school for?
The fuck are you talking about? Why are you detaining me? You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. Get this dance. You about to lose your job because you are detaining me for nothing. And you're detaining me for nothing. And you about to lose your job. You ain't even got no job because you training. You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. Is this shit worth you losing your job? Because you about to. Because you ain't got no reason. I could pass.
So I'm not gonna lie, I never watched the original video because I didn't want to see a black woman in handcuffs with the police around her.
Me either,
because that is not my jam.
Because I seen that clip, I was like, nope, and I just kept it strolling.
Like, I knew people were sharing it and laughing and shit, and I did see like a couple seconds of
it. I didn't even know what it was about.
But I was just like, man, I've seen so many videos of black people with police. I'm trying to avoid all this content. I know a lot of people think they need to see everything and all the stuff from the protest, but
have it. Go at it.
I still haven't seen the video of that man falling down and getting hit, pushed by the cops and shit. I just don't want to see the police doing what the police fucking do. White people might need to see it, but I definitely already understand what the fuck they do.
You know how I feel about that. Nope.
But Suede the Remix God is that dude. So he saw the video and remixed it. I haven't heard it yet, but I mean, I feel like Suede has never failed to deliver. You know, we had to Catch Me Outside remix.
I'm gonna get you, bitch, and I'm gonna get you when you least expect it.
How about that? How about that? How about that?
Yup.
Yes.
Suede the Remix God.
How about that? 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 Catch me outside. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? How about that? Catch me outside. Catch me outside. Catch me outside. How about that? Catch me outside. Catch me outside. How about that?
The hoes are laughing.
Yep.
The hoes are laughing.
Yep.
The hoes are laughing.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yep.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
Catch me
outside.
How about that? How about that? How about that? Catch me outside. How about that? And then you had Shannon Sharp. I be on the miles with that yak hard yesterday, Skip. I be on these miles and hen dog, and now y'all got problems with me.
That's,
let me celebrate. I be on the miles.
You talking crazy. You need to quit it, Skill. You need to quit it, Skill. You need to quit it, Skill. You talking crazy. You need to quit it, Skill. You need to quit it, Skill.
Skill, 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 Skill. If a frog had a pocket,
he would carry a knife.
Hey, stab the snake. Hey, before it ate it. If a frog had a pocket,
he would carry a knife.
Hey,
stab the snake.
Hey,
before he ate it.
I'll be on the mile.
Miles with the yak. can't you love being black, dog? Come and on. So then, of course, the other, my favorite remix is this one.
But look at him.
Yes.
Look. Look.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, pork, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, chicken, turkey, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, pork, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, greens.
Beans, greens, beans, 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 you about to lose your job. I have not heard this before.
It's a remix.
Let's see what Sway did.
You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. Get this dance. You about to lose your job because you are detaining me for nothing. You about to lose your job. Yeah. You about to lose your job. Get this dance. You about to lose your job.
Hold up. Why did they put on the video, they put the four cops that got arrested for George Floyd?
Oh,
they was, oh, you about to lose your job.
You about to lose your job.
Hey. Rest in peace, Pop.
Is this shit worth you losing your job? Cause you bought to. Cause you ain't got no reason.
Oh man, that's dope.
Oh.
So yeah, thank you for that remix. We appreciate it. That's a much needed thing to happen today. And lastly, we got this email from Kyle. Hi y'all, 2 points. One, I've tried to leave a 5-star review on iTunes podcast app multiple times and it always says thanks for your submission or something, but I never see it posted. I have ensured the submission is clean, but I never see it in on the app. Am I doing something wrong? I don't know. Are you logged in?
Yeah, you might try to leave it in on like a physical computer. I don't know if the computer.
Yeah, maybe try an actual computer with iTunes on it. Something like that. Or go to the website and try it. Not sure. That's not a, other than cursing, I've never seen that happen before.
Same.
Number two, below is what I tried to post. This podcast always comes through. The past 2+ weeks have been an emotional roller coaster for black folk, from George Floyd to white friends telling you how much they learned about white privilege and how sorry they are, to Candace Owens shucking to the white lady in Central Park. I still haven't seen the Candace Owens video and refuse.
Nah, I'm good.
I'll listen to that after I listen to Rush Limbaugh on The Breakfast Club. Okay, guys? In other words, never worry. To Drew Brees adding Trump directly, and finally to DC saying screw it, we renaming the street Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I saw that too.
And he wrote it down the street too in big yellow ass letters.
Someone spray painted on it, still not enough. I knew it was gonna happen when I seen the paint. I said that it's gonna be some black people out there like, that you ain't tricking me. Despite the highs and lows of black life, this podcast always helps get through these tough times. Thanks for everything you do. All the best, Kyle.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. And as we always say here, guys, ain't we lucky we got them. Good times.
Yeah.
The
the Blackout Tips film live before a studio audience. All right, y'all, that's it. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, wait, tomorrow's guest is gonna be Roy Wood Jr. So, you know, we got that going for us.
Oh, and don't forget to tune in to Keith and the Girl and get your tickets at keithandthegirl.com.
Tonight, at 8 p.m., you will see me live playing through Zoom, playing some silent trailers, okay? And it's a star-studded event, okay? So hopefully you guys show up. Ophira Eisenberg is going to be there. Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live is gonna be there. Kevin Allison is gonna be there. People that listen to Keith and the Girl that are fans are gonna be there, including myself. And I'm gonna show up and try to kick Keith's ass. It is all about trying to guess what the movie trailer is that Hemda is watching. She notoriously does not watch movies,
right?
And she's gonna describe it to us with none of us being able to see what it is, and we try to guess what the fuck the movie is. All right, so it's gonna be a fun time no matter what, so hopefully you guys show up and enjoy it.
Yes, and use the code TBGWT to get half off.
You can get half off your tickets. Go to keithandthegirl.com/tickets, get half off your ticket with code TBGWT. Hope to see some of you there, guys. I need some black people there supporting me as we try to win the contest, and I need y'all to, you know, if I don't win, we're gonna say it was racism and Black Lives Matter, and they're gonna have to write me several DMs to explain to me white privilege. So, you know, we need to get this white guilt W while we can, okay? This George Floyd wave is not gonna last forever. All right, y'all, till next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.